Hello. There we go. Okay, we'd like to get started if we could. We'd like to welcome you out to the RAC meeting tonight. My name's David Black. I'm the chairman of the Southern RAC from St. George. I'd also like to recognize two of the Wildlife Board members. We have Jake Albrecht, who's the chairman of the Wildlife Board's here, and Steve Dalton. Raise your hands. Thank you. Appreciate your attendance tonight. First order of business, I'd like to introduce the RAC. We could start down with Dale on my left. And
Dale Bagley, I represent an elected official from Marysville.
Lane Torgerson from Richfield, I'm a sportsman's representative.
Mike Staley from Deseret, I'm non-attached there.
Rusty Aiken from Cedar City Agriculture.
My name is Kevin Bunnell. I'm the regional supervisor with the Division of Wildlife, and my role on this RAC is to just act as kind of the secretary for the chairman.
Mac Morrell from Bicknell Agriculture.
Mike Worthen, Cedar City Public at Large.
Sean Kelly from Fillmore, representing the Forest Service.
Thank you. Normally right now I'd talk about the RAC procedures, but I think I'll hold off for just a minute to see if we get some more people attending. We'll go over that. The first order of business is we need a nomination to approve the agenda and the minutes for tonight.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the meeting agenda and the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Second from Rusty. All those in favor? Okay, that's unanimous. The next item on the agenda will go to the regional update from Kevin.
You want me to do a quick Wildlife Board update too, Dave? So just quickly, you know, the last RAC meeting we had was, we only had the single agenda item relative to the Utah Prairie Dog Plan. That passed the board without any changes. We did have Fish and Wildlife Service there and a little bit of dialogue back and forth, but in general that process is going well. My staff in Cedar City is in the process of implementing that plan. The rule portion of it that governs what the public can do takes effect May 8th, and so we're working towards making sure that we have all the information out for that, and the process seems to be going as well as it can be. It's going to be a learning process, and we're trying to adjust as we go, as we work through that. So as far as a regional update, and I'll be brief just because I know we have a lengthy agenda, from our aquatic section, the ice is off just about everywhere. Richard Hepworth, our aquatics manager, drove past Navajo Lake this morning, and he thought that with this wind that even Navajo would be clear by the end of today, leaving probably only some of the boulder lakes in the region that still have ice on them. Everywhere else is the ice is left. We do have some emergency regulation changes at three reservoirs in the region. At Gunlock Reservoir, because there's going to be a treatment going on there later this fall. We've loosened the limits on fish at Gunlock, and then also at Upper and Lower Enterprise, just because we're anticipating that those two reservoirs will be drained almost down to nothing given the water situation that we have, and so we've increased the limits on those reservoirs to give fishermen the opportunity to take advantage of those fish while we still have them, because we'll probably lose most of the fish populations in those reservoirs. We're also in the process of writing a management plan for Lake Powell that incorporates the changes that will be coming to Lake Powell with quagga mussels being in there now, and that process as well on the way. From our habitat section, just make note that the road closures on most of our WMAs, those roads will be open as of May 1st. And then our our habitat section is very aggressive here in the southern region. We're anticipating an additional 10,000 plus acres of restoration treatments coming this next fall, and they're in the process of getting all the funding put together and all the planning to make that happen. Our law enforcement section, this is a time of year where they plug in and provide a lot of help to our management sections. They've been helping with sage-grouse let counts and things like that recently, as well as starting to work the reservoirs and fishermen. Our wildlife section has been heavily involved with getting sage-grouse let counts done. We've been in the process of revising our deer unit plans. You'll see those at the next RAC meeting in May. We've had several public meetings around the region and to make sure we have the proper input to write those. And then just lastly, we had a really good opener for the limited entry turkey hunt this last weekend. And then upcoming, we'll have the over-the-counter hunt for the youth. Will be May 1st through the 3rd. That's turkey populations are really doing well. If you have any youth that you have an opportunity to take out, that those 3 days, it's just for the youth, would be a great opportunity to get somebody their first turkey. And then the general portion of that season will start May 4th. And again, our turkey populations are doing well, and there should be a lot of success with turkey hunting this spring. And if with that, I'll be glad to take any questions and turn the time back to Dave.
Okay, don't see any questions there. So let's just talk about the meeting order real quick. I'm sure this is not your first RAC meeting, but as we go through each action item, we'll have a presentation by a DWR representative. And during the presentation, we'd ask you to be respectful and allow them to complete the presentation. And then there'll be, right after that, will be the opportunity to ask questions. First, we'll have questions from the RAC, and then we'll have questions from the public. And we'd want to limit this to questions only. And then following the questions, we'll have comments. And in order for you to come up and make a comment, we'd ask you to come to the mic down here in front, state your name, and you'll need to fill out one of the yellow comment cards and indicate which action item that you want to talk on, and those comment cards will come up front. And since it's going to be a full agenda today, we're going to limit the time for an individual to 3 minutes. If you're representing a group, you can have 5 minutes. And we have a little timer up here, so as we're running out of time, if you see me wave my hand, then that would want to get you to wrap up your comments. So we appreciate that. And then following the public comments, then the RAC would have an opportunity for their comments, and then we'd take motion and voting on each of those action items. So with that, we'll get started on the first action item, which is item number 5, Conservation and Sportsman Permit Rule, R657-41 Amendments, and Justin Shannon will present.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Justin Shannon. Tonight I'm going to present a rule change to R657-41, the Conservation and Sportsman Permit Rule. So to begin, this rule change adds clarity and consistency to the DWR and state parks for mule deer and bighorn sheep permits that are valid for Antelope Island. What it does is it defines a special Antelope Island State Park limited entry permit, and it also classifies the mule deer permit as a premium limited entry opportunity and the bighorn sheep permit as a once-in-a-lifetime, similar to other units. Permits and season dates approved by the Wildlife Board, and they'll be held in a general drawing. The other thing it does is this rule change provides a framework for us to enter into a cooperative agreement with DWR and state parks. And the purpose of this cooperative agreement, or this MOU, would be to establish season dates and the number of mule deer and bighorn sheep permits that would be issued for the island. And then also establish hunting procedures and regulations, protocols for issuing permits, and conducting hunts for antlerless deer if we ever go down that road, and finally procedures and conditions for transferring revenue that are derived from these permits to Antelope Island. And essentially the take-home message is that DWR and state parks will coordinate annually regarding these limited entry permits that are valid for Antelope Island. The other thing the rule change does, setting Antelope Island aside, is it provides some requirements that conservation organizations must abide by. The first being that they need to be a nonprofit chartered organization or a 501c3. And the second is that they would need to promote and protect the preservation of one or more conservation permit species. So, for instance, if there was a sportsman's group that was advocating and promoting the protection of, say, brown trout, because brown trout are not a conservation permit species, they wouldn't qualify for this program. And currently, no organizations in the conservation permit program are affected by this change. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the RAC? Any questions from the public? Lee?
That requirement to protect species, is that species specific, or would a general wildlife group qualify?
Lee, we all know you, but you need to state your name for the recording.
Sorry. Lee Tracy, Enoch, Utah.
Thank you.
Do we have another microphone, or is this it?
That's it.
Okay. Essentially, the conservation group would have to promote the protection and preservation for one of the conservation species, and if they're broad enough, like, well, we protect and promote all big game, that certainly it would qualify, something along those lines.
Any other questions? I don't have any comment cards on this item. Do you have any comments from the RAC? Okay, I'm ready to entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to accept the permit rule 657-41 as presented.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comment? All those in favor? Okay, passes unanimous. Item number two on the agenda is, or number six, Bucks Bowls and AIOIAL permit recommendations.
Once in a lifetime.
For 2015, and Justin will present this one with Teresa.
Okay, thank you. Tonight I'm going to present the Bucks Bowls and Once in a Lifetime permit recommendations for 2015. So to begin, we'll start with deer permits. Last year, we harvested just over 26,000 bucks on general season deer units, and as you can see, over the last 10 years or so, we've had our peaks and our valleys, but the last 3 years have been some pretty good ones for us and above par from the last 7 years. Looking at fawn production and trends over the last 15 years, saw a pretty good decrease in the early 2000s. We quickly climbed out of it. In the last 6 years or so, we've been pretty stable between 61 and 65 fawns per 100 does. Looking at buck-to-doe ratio trends over the last 20-plus years, in 1993, 1994, our statewide general season public land units, the average buck-to-doe ratio was 8. And throughout the 90s, we climbed up to about 15 and danced around that 15 bucks per 100 does for quite a while. And in the last 3 years, we've really seen a pretty significant increase in our buck-to-doe ratios. And currently, we're over 21 bucks per 100 does statewide on general season units. Moving into the general season deer permit recommendations, we recommend an increase of 2,250 general season deer permits. Last year, the Wildlife Board passed 84,800, and this year we're recommending 87,050. On the 30 units, though, we're recommending a decrease on one unit, no change on 17, and increases on 12. I'm breaking this up a little different than I have in the past. I'm essentially going by region, which is something we haven't done in the past, and so that way we can spend more time or less time on specific areas. But what you'll see is on the far left, the unit name and then the objective, whether we're managing for 18 to 20 or 15 to 17 bucks per 100 does, and then the three-year buck-to-doe ratio average for those units. A trend, just relative, what the buck-to-doe ratio is this year relative to last year. Last year's approved permit numbers and then this year's recommendation. So for the northern region, we're recommending an increase of 250 permits on the cash. For the central region, we're recommending increases on the Central Mountains Nebo and the Wasatch Mountains West units. In the southern region, all units are at or exceeding their three-year buck-to-doe ratios, and we're recommending increases on the Beaver by 150 permits, the Fillmore Pavant by 100, Mountain Dutton by 50, the Zion by 100, Monroe by 100, and the Plateau Boulder Kaparowitz by 200. For the southeast region, recommending an increase of permits on the Manti by 500. And then finally, for the northeast region, recommending a decrease in permits on the North Slope and an increase on the South Slope Yellowstone and Aviniquin Current Creek units. For premium limited entry deer units, we have two metrics in how we manage these populations. One is on an age objective, and so essentially 40% or greater percentage of the deer need to be 5 years or older for the premium limited entry permits. And then as far as management permits go, buck-to-doe ratios are used, and the sideboards for that are 40 to 55. And on the Henrys, 72% of the deer are 5 years or older, and on the Poncegon it's been 58 for the last 3 years. And up for the Henrys, the buck-to-doe ratio is 52, and the Poncegon's 44 for a three-year average. So total permit recommendations for premium limited entry. On the Henrys, recommend going from 48 to 49 permits, and on the Poncegon, we're recommending no change at 135. That 48 to 49 permits, it is an increase in one, but essentially what we've done is there's a landowner association permit on that unit, and so in the years that that's not going to the landowner association, we'd like to put it back into the public draw, and so that's why there's a reflection of one. For management buck permits, we're recommending a decrease of 5 on the Henry Mountains and an increase of 2 on the Poncegon from 14 to 16. For limited entry deer units, what we have is the units on the far left, and then all these units are managed for 25 to 35 bucks per 100 does, and the three-year average is on the far right. And so on the Book Cliff South and the South Slope Diamond Mountain, we're exceeding the buck-to-doe ratio, and on the Fillmore Oak Creek and LaSalle Dolores Triangle, we're below objective, and the others are within the sideboards. Looking at permit changes as a whole, not a lot of movement in most of the units. The ones that I'd like to point out are the North Slope Summit unit, which is it's a new hunt that we have in the northern region. Essentially, on the North Slope of the Uintas, we have a lot of deer that migrate into Wyoming prior to the hunt, and so we've established a limited entry hunt to allow our hunters to access these animals. And we're recommending 200 permits on that unit, and then on the West Desert Vernon, an increase of 10 from 181 to 191. For the limited entry late season muzzleloader deer permits, we're recommending a total of 46. Again, this is a hunt that would overlap with the muzzleloader elk hunt. It's new this year. And on the Chalk Creek, East Canyon, Morgan, South Ridge, we're recommending 10 permits, 5 on the Camas, 10 on the 9 Mile, 8 on the Pine Valley, 3 on the Southwest Desert, and 10 on the Zion. So a summation of all the limited entry permits, we're recommending an increase of 257, the bulk of that on the North Slope and and the Vernon, and 1,068 total. Another thing to highlight is last year we passed the multi-season permit as well for the first time, where a limited entry hunter can hunt archery, muzzleloader, and rifle, and we're recommending 25 of those permits for this upcoming hunt. Moving on to elk, for general season, recommending no change in the spike in any bull permits, but we are recommending an increase of 200 permits for the youth any bull. This is a hunt that's been very popular, mostly in the northeast part of the state, the UNAs. We get a lot of youth hunters that go up there. One of the objectives in the statewide elk plan was to expand hunting opportunities for the youth, and as we took a look at this, we have about 5,000 youth putting in for 300 permits, and the regions felt like we could expand some opportunity. And then a decrease of 5 permits in the late season youth any bull. So for limited entry permits total, we're recommending an increase in 96 permits. Last year, the board approved 2,842, and this year we're recommending 2,938. So for the 7.5 to 8-year-old units, we're recommending a decrease of permits by 6. And this block of units is one where we've had some pretty drastic cuts over the last 4 years or so. And one of the exciting things is the age trend on every one of these is heading in the right direction, which we're pretty pleased with. And the 6.5 to 7-year-old units, we recommend an increase of 9 permits on the Book Cliffs and the Southwest Desert Indian Peaks, and a decrease in permits on the Central Mountains Nebo. For the 5.5 to 6-year-old units, this is the bulk of the elk permits in the state. We recommend an increase of 65 permits, with the bulk of those being recommended for the LaSalle Mountains and the Wasatch Mountains units. And then finally, for the 4.5 to 5-year-old units, we recommend increases on the Cache Meadowville, Cache South, and the Ponsagant, and with decreases in permits on the Cache North. Moving on to pronghorn, we recommend statewide an increase of 23 permits. Last year, we recommended 781, and this year, we're recommending 804. What you'll see on this slide, though, is a decrease in the any weapon permits. That's because we added a couple more units to the muzzleloader hunts. So we've essentially taken those any weapon permits and put them in the muzzleloader hunts for that increase. That's why there's showing a decline there. And then finally, for once-in-a-lifetime permit recommendations, for moose, desert bighorn, Rocky Mountain bighorn, and mountain goat, really increases or decreases by 1 or 2 permits. The real change here is a decrease in bison permits. Last year we recommended 91 statewide, and this year we're recommending 80. So, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Before I open this up for questions to the RAC, I just wanted to take a second to introduce two more people. Recognize them. We have Darren Bushman, who's a county commissioner with Paiute County, with us tonight, and also Dennis Blackburn from Wayne County. Appreciate your attendance. Do we have one more? Who's that?
Will Talbot.
Okay, thank you. And Will Talbot, who's also a county commissioner. Again, we appreciate your attendance tonight and look forward to some comments from you as well. Do we have any questions now from the RAC?
On the late season muzzleloader, when we went through that earlier and passed that out of the Southern RAC, we passed it kind of with the agreement that it'd be a very limited number of tags. We were talking like 1 or 2. Is that something you took into consideration when you come up with these numbers, or?
Yeah, I've been asked this a lot. What were the sideboards? The sideboards for these late season muzzleloader hunts was essentially to start small, and so on some units where they have literally thousands of permits, 8 to 10. Late-season muzzleloader hunts isn't that much. And others, like the Southwest Desert, we did that. We started very conservative of 3. And so it was really at the discretion of each biologist in those districts, but with the intent to start small with these permits. So
I guess the biologists felt comfortable with these, that it wouldn't have any adverse effect at these numbers here then?
No, again, the only reason we chose these units is because they were exceeding $20 per 100 does on those units that were for 18 to 20. And even if you were to harvest 10 more bucks on some of these units, I don't think it would change your buck to doe ratio much at all. It's such a minimal number of permits. So.
Okay, thanks.
Rusty?
On the beaver unit, you've got a increase of, it looks like, 150 permits, buck tags. It's below your objective. Is there a reason for that, specific reason?
Yeah. One thing we did with the last statewide plan was we were asked to look at trend as well. So if you're exceeding your buck-to-doe ratio, you increase. If you're below it, you decrease. And if you're trending in a pretty positive direction, you can be a little preemptive and recommend an increase. On the beaver in particular, a few years ago we were at 3,500 permits. We cut down to that 3,000. And in talking with the biologist, he felt like we could just do a small increase with the trajectory of that buck to doe ratio. So that's the justification behind it, Rusty.
What's that?
That's the reason why we recommended it. Just the trend.
Tell me about the Chalk Creek again. I know that's an unusual. Is that a private property unit? Is that you're at 31 and not asking for an increase?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially areas like Chalk Creek where there's just a lot of private land, and access is an issue as well, where some of your public parcels of land are blocked with access. We felt like if we just added more and more permits to some of those units, like the Chalk Creek or the 9 Mile is another good example, then essentially what you're doing is just decreasing your success rates and frustrating more hunters. So there's kind of a artificial cap on some of that.
What percentage of private land is there, you know?
I'd have to look. I don't know off the top of my head.
So the Zion is, I think it's a 50%. You're at 23 buck to doe stable, and you're asking for another 100 tags on that.
Yeah.
Is that a private land unit as well? You'd classify that if it's 50% private?
I certainly there's private land. Teresa, you want to take a stab at that, or Jason?
Jason's probably your best source there.
Okay, yeah, 50% private then, so... Yeah.
So do you have consideration on the Zion as you do the Chalk Creek, or doesn't it hit into that?
Well, the Chalk Creek, if you look at that one, I mean, there, where are we at there?
Yeah, you're at 31.
I mean, we're at 6,800 permits, and so the permits are more than double what we have on the Zion, and so they felt like they pushed that envelope when they were setting up the unit by unit, but this is one that we can certainly look more at, so...
Okay, Mike.
I'm sorry. Morgan Southreach is 80% private land. So, yeah. Thanks, Kent.
I wanted to ask a question on the trending. Now, when it's trending decrease, one minute you say you increase or you decrease the tags, and then we look and Central Mountain Nebo trends decreasing, you increase the tags. Even where they're stable, it looks like to me you ought to lower them if they're not meeting their objective. You've got two right there, LaSalle Mountains, decreasing trends. You leave them the same. Mm-hmm. I thought we had all these units so we could manage them.
Yeah.
Why don't we? My question is, if the trend is decreasing, why do we increase the tags?
So on the Central Mountains Nebo, if you look at there, you know, in 2013 they were over $21 per 100 does. This last year they're 18. So they're still over the 15 to 17 criteria. And with looking at the fawn production that they had this year on it, the biologists felt like even if we did an increase of 100, we'd still be within the sideboards next year. So
the trend doesn't always apply then, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah,
you correlate it with the buck-doe ratio and the trending.
Yeah, and these biologists, I mean, they're looking at everything. What was the production last year? What kind of winter are we having? What's our survival going to be? And looking at some of that. And we wrote it that way in the statewide plan to give a little more flexibility. And part of it was a year or two ago on the Box Elder unit, we were at $20 per 100 does, and then we went to 16, and then we went down to 11. And the three-year average was still like $16 per 100 does, but everybody could look at that and say, no, let's take that into account. We can cut permits and get out in front of it. So it does go both ways, in increases and decreases in permits.
Okay. One other question. You manage elk numbers, mm-hmm. not cows to bull ratio. Mm-hmm. Why do we do it different with deer? I'm sure that the same number of bull elk can breed the same number of cow elk yeah. as bucks can breed does. And we never look at that on elk.
Yeah.
Some of these units are really high bull to cow ratio. And we still have cow hunts there, more
right.
or less.
So
what's the difference?
It's a good question, because the bull to cow ratio is really difficult to ascertain when you're flying these areas on the Manti and the Fish Lake and some of those. Sometimes where your cows and your calf groups are going to be, your bulls are in separate areas, even in winter. And so to try to pick all that up makes it really difficult. I think our sightability is better on cows than it is on bulls, quite frankly. And the other thing with age allows you to manage for an expectation of quality. So if you have a 7.5 to 8-year-old unit, naturally your bull to cow ratio will be higher, but hunters can look at that and say, okay, I think that unit's going to have a little bit more quality than a 5.5 to 6-year-old unit. So it's a way to set that up as well.
Okay. One other question on the Vernon unit, on limited entry unit. Mm-hmm. It's trending down, but yet we increase tags there. I don't understand that one.
The Vernon's...
It could be a lot better unit than it is, I think.
I've heard that. Some guys came to the central rack and said, hey, our quality isn't there. Yeah. Our buck-to-doe ratio this last year was actually really high on the Vernon. It was 33.
But not the age class there.
The age class, yes. The age class did decline on that unit.
Yeah.
And one of the things on that is, if you look back 4 years, it had a really poor fawn production year. And on the Vernon, we're generally killing 4-year-old bucks. And they just, that crop didn't come 4 years ago. And so I think hunters had a tough go at it last year.
But you're thinking it's coming now, so then you can increase the tags.
Last couple of years have been pretty good out there, according to the biologists, yeah. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll turn the time to Mac and then follow Mac. Dale had a question.
On your deer, what about these landowner permits for bucks? Is that included in here?
No, these are public draw permits. So these are what would go through the system that you apply for through our processes that way. Not landowner appreciation permits or the landowner permit program that we have in place.
So those are in addition?
Yeah, landowner permits are in addition to these.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill?
On the Plateau 1000 Lake unit, I had some email comments on that one, and it was also controversial as far as the preference points things, but on that unit, you got 200 tags now as a general season. What historically were the tag numbers on that when it was a limited entry? Have you increased them a lot, or are we still managing that as a limited entry numbers but put it in the general draw?
Let me have Jim take a crack at answering that. I don't know what we had limited entry number-wise.
For Fish Lake, you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
For 1,000 lakes.
For 1,000 lakes.
You said 1,000 lakes, right?
Deer?
Historic buck permits on the 1,000 lakes? Sorry, I was talking about the Fish Lake fire.
No, not yet on that. But no, historically, what were your tag numbers before that was turned into general season?
About 20 years ago, we had about 100, and that had dwindled down to less than 50. Before it changed to a general season unit.
So now we're up to 200 as a general
season. Yes, the first year we had 400, and now we're at 200.
All right. Thanks.
Do we have any other questions from Mike?
Yeah, I looking at the Monroe and the Dutton, especially the Dutton, where you've got the trend just 3 years ago, or the buck-to-doe ratio was clear down to 13. Then all of a sudden it jumped up to 23, and then 22, and now, to 22, and then 22.7. Now it's going back down, but yet we're increasing it by 50. And then the Monroe, which is just above there, pretty close to the same trend, we're increasing it by 100. And to me, it just appears that we're jumping the gun. It seems to me like the reason the 30 units were put there so you could manage it a lot easier and micromanage. But yet, any time we get the least bit of jump, we're just giving more tags out because we can't stand to see the deer. Give them a chance to increase in there and get established. And to me, it just doesn't make sense, especially on those two, but also the Zion and a few others that we've increased where the trend is going down or stable even.
Is there a question there?
Well, the question is, why is the Monroe and the Dutton being increased decreasing in their numbers, in their trend? And they wasn't seen fit last year to be increased.
Sure. On the Mount Dutton, as you look at it, in 2012 we were 13.7, and then we were 22.2 last year and 22.7 this year. So that one is increasing. And two of the last 3 years, we've been over that 18 to 20 ratio. And so on that one, you know, we could support an increase. And then on the Monroe, that unit is managed for 15 to 17 bucks per 100 does, and all three of the last years we've exceeded that 15 to 17 buck to doe ratio. So again, that's the justification behind the increases in permits on those units.
And I can see that. Yeah. I guess I just have a question on why, once we hit the objective, we have to pull it down below the objective by increasing numbers again.
I think it's just simply to get it in the sideboards. I mean, it's if you have 15 to 17 and you're above that, by design you would want to increase permits to get it back to 15 to 17. Because there's a lot of hunters that certainly enjoy quality, and that's great.
And I've had a number of emails from just individual sportsmen that don't belong to any group or anything else.
Sure.
that complain about this. That they'd rather see the tags held stable or even decreased to get that quality up there rather than kill all the 2 points that are out there the first 2 or 3 days of the hunt.
Yeah. I guess the other side of that is there's people that want to hunt more often, and if we look at it and if we're growing deer and our buck to doe ratios are doing better, the draw odds just get worse and worse on these general season units every year, and there is a camp that would like to see those permits increase so they can go more, and that would just be the other side of it. So
yeah. But I didn't hear that side.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay, so I'm right here with Mike. I don't understand when the objective is 18 to 20, why we have to jump tag numbers because we're not at 21. And if they're trending the same, this seems to confuse me. I'm dumb. Talk slower next time.
You want me to take a stab at it?
It just seems kind of okay. You've already tried to take a stab at it, so I'll ask another question here, because I am dumb. The Pine Valley, is that 22? It's green, so it's hard to read. Is that 22 bucks per 100 does?
On the Pine Valley?
On the Pine Valley. It's green, so it's hard for me to see.
Yeah, 22. Yep.
22 bucks per 100 does. And I don't want anybody to throw anything at me because I'm not necessarily for increase in tags, so don't shoot me yet. But I don't understand why we're not asking for an increase of tags. I just don't get the plan. I'm dumb.
Yeah. Well, on the Pine Valley, we were at 24 bucks per 100 does in 2012, and then we went to 20.6, and now we're down to 20.1. So again, if you look at that trend, that's just kind of where we're headed with it.
So that little dash off to the side of the Pine Valley that says trend, what does that mean? I'm stupid.
It just means last year's buck-to-doe ratio relative to this year's buck-to-doe ratio.
So when it's dashed side to side.
If it wasn't a change more
that
than...
That means it's stable, right?
More than one, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That says it's stable. So okay. I guess that's the problem. I just don't understand your chart because it says that it's stable. Never mind. That's what I'm getting at. It's still above objective, but we're not increasing tags. Does social pressure come into your suggestions?
You know, I think we'd want to say we're as pure biologically as we can be, but it certainly does. I mean, if you look at last year's buck to doe ratio, and it's 20.1. That's about where you want to be. And so to increase by 50 or 100 permits probably doesn't make a ton of sense if you're right there at the upper end of that buck-to-doe ratio. So that's all it is. So.
Okay, do we have any other questions from the rack? I have one question, Justin. Now we have the 30 individual units. And we're looking at those individually, and it's my understanding that this year we're looking at the individual units in the southern region.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that process and what we can expect to see out of that and what type of involvement or the opportunity for participation from the public in that process or how does that work?
You mean for the unit plans?
Yes.
Therese has been taking the lead on that. Let me let her take a stab at answering that.
Okay.
So over the last couple months, we've held 6 open houses across the region to take public input on those unit plans. The biologists have submitted draft plans, which should be final by the end of the week and presented. It'll go through the May RAC.
And that'll be implemented in next year's recommendation.
Okay. So that would be the opportunity that we'd have to comment on that, or in the public would. But
May
there's not. But
8th.
You don't ever foresee a committee being involved in certain regions to have some pre-involvement, or is it just...
For the sake of time and efficiency and on our workload also, we're supposed to complete those plans the year following the range trend. So just because of time constraints, that's why we had open houses in different, you know, we had 6 across the region. That's how we tried to gather our public input rather than having committees, because they're a lot more time consuming.
Okay.
Well, and they probably get a little different different bunch of input from different people that we might not get from a committee.
Okay.
Mike? Yeah, Teresa, what was the average number that attended those open houses? Because the one I went to in Panguitch is only about 3 or 4 individuals there.
Yeah, there was a few more than that at the Panguitch one. Some had 20... 25.
Because I just question whether the open houses is is representative of the public's concerns in those management plans, and I thought that the management plans was going to go through a committee and really get, you know, let the people become involved in that rather than the biologist writing the plans themselves.
And you also need to remember that on the unit plans, we still are bound by the sideboards of the statewide plan. So there's only so much that we can change within the unit plans. What we'd like the most input from people is you know, if we can focus habitat work in one area or another. I mean, some of that input is the best that we can get. But the public will also have an opportunity to make their comments at the RAC meeting, the upcoming RAC meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions from the RAC? Again, as we turn time over to the public, this is for questions only, and then we'll be followed up by your comments. And we do have comment cards up here. We'll call you up But if you have any questions, feel free to come up, stand at the mic, and state your name and your question.
Hi, I'm Jason Aiken. I've got a question on the Ponsagot management increase. I know the answer to this, but I just wanted to make him say it. There's two tags going to the Ponsagot management tag. What's that increase for?
Yeah, thanks. I failed to mention that in the PowerPoint. What he's talking about is you're talking right here on your management buck tags on the Ponsagot. Yeah, we're not adding any more permits to the unit as a whole. Last year, the CWMU gave back two of those permits, and so instead of doing away with them, we just simply added them back to the public draw, similar to the Landowner Association permit on the Henrys. So,
thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we'll move into the comment section. I have comment cards from Lee Tracy, followed by Braden Richmond.
Lee Tracy, United Wildlife Cooperative. Our group supports the recommendations that the DWR has made regarding the buck, bull, and once-in-a-lifetime tags. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Braden? Followed by Paul Niemeyer.
Braden Richmond, representing the Beaver SFW chapter. First, Paul's going to stand up in a minute and discuss the SFW's recommendations. We do support the SFW's recommendations as a whole. There's one on there that deals specifically with the Beaver area, the Beaver Mountain, and the increase of buck tags on there of 150. We understand Beaver is trending up slightly. We don't think it's a significant trend yet, and we've never gone over the buck-to-doe ratio of 18. So we would really like to see those permits not change until we're over that number. Thanks.
Thank you. Paul, followed by Jason Aiken.
I'm Paul Niemeyer, representing the Wayne Sevier SFW chapter. We've only got a couple of recommendations. On the Vernon, we'd like to see the deer permits stay as they were in 14. And also on the Manti and on Zion and on the Beaver. And other than that, we support the DWR proposed Bucks and Bulls proclamation.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Jason Aiken with Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife, and Paul pretty much just took everything I had to say, so I'll kind of back some of that up on the Vernon. The reason we are recommending no increase on that is they're afraid the deer quality is not going to be what it's been in the past, and so SFW is recommending that we stay with the 2014 numbers. And then for the Manti, during that part of the meeting, I wasn't paying attention, so I don't remember that. I think it was crowding. But then also on the Zion, we looked at that one. One of the reasons I don't think we should have any increase on the Zion, one, we're adding that late limited entry hunt on that unit this year, so I don't think we should be, you know, throwing more tags on top of more tags on that unit. It's a unit that's heavily covered with private property, so it's hard to hunt during the general season. So And I went through and did some math. Last year, they increased the numbers from 3,000 to 3,100 tags. Even with 100 more hunters in the field, they harvested 160 less deer. So it's kind of one of those things, just by increasing tags doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to increase harvest. So on that Zion unit, just specifically, we think that we should leave those tags the way that they were on 2014, and then Braden went over everything on the Beaver unit. So, thank you.
Thank you, Jason. We have Craig Lobb, followed by Wade Heaton.
Craig Lobb, representing Utah Farm Bureau. Usually John would be here, but he's not able to be, John Keeler. Anyway, we are glad to see the numbers increasing. We think with the open winter, the numbers of probably survival rates pretty high, and we think the herds are healthy, but also our concern is with the conditions of the habitat that we need to increase the numbers. One concern I did have going over the numbers there is the elk in the southern regions, is most all of them are at or above age deal, so I was wondering why there weren't as many spike, or why we didn't have more spike tags there.
Jason, can you respond to that question about the spike tags?
Yeah, in the statewide elk plan, it caps the number of spike permits at 15,000, and so that's the reason. And with that, spike hunters can go anywhere on a limited entry unit they wanted to, and so there's opportunities to increase. If hunters wanted to come and hunt the southern region, there's nothing preventing them, I guess. So, but the reason that we didn't call for increases in spike permits is simply because we're capped. So,
okay, thank you. Wade? Followed by Boyd Corey.
Sorry, Scott and I were solving problems back there. Just wanted to comment on the Ponsagant recommendations. Friends of the Ponsagant and the CWMU, pretty excited about where we're at. Pretty happy with the recommendations. Our buck to doe ratios, our average age, have kind of stayed in a realm where we're all pretty happy. What we're seeing on the ground, we're pretty happy with. And so we've worked with our biologist and the division, and we're pretty comfortable with those numbers, leaving them the way they are, both with the deer, the management, and as well as the elk permits. Recommend that we go ahead and pass that. We approve that. Thanks.
Thank you, Wade. Boyd, followed by
Chris Isom. I'm Boyd Corey. I guess I'm with Friends of the Ponsagant speaking, if not about the Ponsagant. Really like what the SFW said about not increasing area the tags in the Zion unit and those others. Just a comment on that Zion unit. I don't know if someday we can shrink them a little, but it's a unit where the deer migrate. And if you've ever hunted it, I think I saw three archer all sneaking up on one 2-point this year, and that's archery season. So from a safety point of view, it looks like orange paint on the sand dunes during the rifle hunt, and there's a whole bunch of camo walking through the woods during the rifle hunt on the sand dunes and archery hunt up on the top. So I really recommend don't increase them. Split the season. Do something different, but don't have so many people all out there with guns and pointy objects.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm Chris Isom, just a general hunter. I'm very appreciative of the suggestions to increase tags. We've taken a big hit, you know, over the last 20 years, in opportunity. And I'm glad to see the numbers up. I think when tags are up, or when buck-to-doe ratios are up, you know, let's increase tags a little bit. When they're below, let's decrease them. But for now, you know, I live by the Zion unit. I appreciate that increase of 100. I think an increase in Pine Valley is called for. It's even a paltry 100. Anyway, that's what I'd like to say. I appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. David Brinkerhoff, followed by Dennis Blackburn.
David Brinkerhoff, Wayne County Grazers, and Permitty on the Henry Mountains. My concern is with the buffalo. Our numbers that we counted last year for the calves was 77. We had an 83% kill, according to Wade. That would increase in the herd size by 13, 14 more permits. Plus the tags that we're issuing this year is only 77. So it looked like to me from the figures that I can put together here that we're going to increase that herd by 25 to 30 head this year. And that's got me a little bit concerned, especially with the drought conditions that we're experiencing in southern Utah or all over the state right now. I think we need to look at maybe increasing that number or finding a way to monitor what's going on with this drought so that we don't get out of control with our buffalo herd again. I think this collar situation that USU study done helped us a lot, helped us to understand a lot about the migration of the buffalo and the impact that they're causing to certain areas of the range. I'm just a little concerned. Last year we counted that 91 or shot that 91 head, and our kill was only 83. So we've got to be increasing somewhere with 77 calves and only killing 57. Another concern that I have is with the elk herd that is on the Henrys. As near as the information I got, I think they killed one elk last year. Now, I know they're trying to get rid of them, but there's got to be some way to find a way to eliminate those elk that are there. They don't want them there. DWR doesn't want them there. We don't want them there. And then we've got another problem that's coming up. We're starting to count antelope numbers in our deserts and in the foot of the Henry. So I think there's a problem there that we need to address. We need to get on top of it before it gets out of hand on these kind of situations. In my observation of the things that's been going on, elk and buffalo and deer do not mix. When you get an elk herd, well, you'll find out that your deer leave. From my observation, and I don't know whether there's any science or any studies that can back that up, but that's my observation. When you get a herd of elk in an area, your deer either leave or go to the fields or move away from them. So that's probably all I have to say. I thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Dennis.
Scott Christensen.
Followed by Scott Christensen.
Dennis Blackburn, Wayne County Commissioner. I'm glad to hear you're trying to increase the deer numbers. I used to couldn't sleep for a week before the deer hunt, but but I feel a lot like David that most of the deer have moved to town, and they are not out on the mountain like they used to be, and I think it is because of the elk numbers and the antelope numbers. I know elk tag sells for a lot more than a deer tag, and maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe just a 1 7-day deer hunt instead of hunting them from August to January would be something we ought to try. This year we had 30, 40 head of elk in Lyman, and it wasn't hardly any snow on the mountain. And when these elk come to town and we start hunting them in town, it's a big concern because you got all the people that don't want you to hunt seeing what you're doing, plus the damage they do to fences and the other things that come with it. The one other concern I have is the antelope numbers. When they first planted antelope on Parker Mountain, the objective was 300. Then it was 800. And then they finally came up with an antelope plan. And I think when they counted them, there was 5,200. Now I believe the antelope plan for Parker Mountain is 1,500. Aurora, last I heard, you was up to 2,000, but and wanting to raise it to that. I think we need to stay with 1,500. But Wayne County is a unique place. When you get to Canesville, headed towards the east, that's where half of the county is about there divided. From there on over is the other half of the county. And these last few years, you've been stalking these antelope down there. Do you have a plan for that down there? What's the objective for them down there? They're in areas that I don't know if you could hunt them if you sold the permit. That's just some of my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. Scott.
Scott Christensen, Lowa, Utah, or Wayne County, as we... I'm not native there, so I'm trying to learn the jargon. I've only been there 15 years. my question is a little bit maybe redundant, but I'd like to kind of ask the same question that Brian asked. I need a better understanding, and I'd like to do it here, so maybe I can refer back how we get stuff changed or do things different. Because every time we talk, it's, well, that should have happened 6 months ago, or that should have happened in the Mule Deer Committee, or I attended three different town halls. All three had the consensus to raise buck to doe ratios in certain regions, primarily the Fish Lake Boulder, Thousand Lake. But we were told that, nope, you can't do that. That doesn't fall under the mule deer management plan. In those same meetings, it was told to us that, you know, basically those were held because of the survey. And I got a hold of the survey, and I went through it, and there was a lot of other information in the survey that we don't do anything about, or even talk about. 60% or plus were dissatisfied with the number of bucks they saw in the units. The survey is all over the place. We can pull any kind of... I mean, I could make a great speech about why we're doing everything contrary to the survey, and I can see the division side, too. So my question is, and this is more for Justin, if we want to have things changed next year, what process? How do we do that? Because obviously we were too late to do anything about it this year.
So what the purpose of the statewide plan was essentially to provide sideboards on what the unit plans can do. And when we put the committee together, when we did the deer plan in 2008, the division did that survey with no input from the committee. It was just as professional and as scientifically rigorous as it can be. And this year we decided to go a different route and to essentially say, okay, I know I'm not a social scientist, and so I want the buy-in from the committee. Let's put our heads together and write a survey together that we can all own and agree on. And so that was the issue behind the survey. As far as how things get changed, the statewide plan does put some sideboards. In the statewide plan, we define what a general season unit is. It's either managed for 15 to 17 bucks per 100 does or 18 to 20. We define what a limited entry unit is. We define what a premium limited entry unit is and a lot of those types of things. And so as far as when does that get changed, probably the next time the statewide plan is up for revision. As far as unit plans, which are going to be coming through the next round of RACs, if you want to have input on that, I would work with Teresa and the biologist. But with that said, you have to stay within the sideboards of the statewide plan. Does that answer that question fair enough?
So basically, yeah, I mean, I keep hearing that, but even in our meeting, and I ask you, Justin, can we change the 60 to 40? Well, we'd have to look at the sideboards, and we don't know. The only thing that was hard and fast was the 18 to 20. We could raise, for example, Boulder and Fish Lake. Well, maybe it was Boulder. I can't remember the two that they are, but from the 15 to 17. But there are things, if we exceed the 18 by 20, is it a mandate in the sideboard that we have to go all rifle tags? Can we increase opportunity? And when can we talk about that? When can we sit down to not take away opportunity, but maybe just change the opportunity so we can keep a higher buck to doe ratio for a qualitier hunt?
Sorry about that. That's a good question. So one of the strategies in the statewide plan says that our permits are going to be 60% rifle, 20% archery, 20% muzzleloader. And as a result, but there's a caveat in there that says some of those ratios may be adjusted to meet a minimum buck-to-doe ratio, essentially. And so at one of the open houses, if I can speak to this for a minute, we kept talking about, well, how come we have to increase permits when we exceed 20 bucks per 100 does? And the reason was because those are the sideboards, 18 to 20. And if you're above, you increase. If you're below, you cut. And some of the conversations that we had at the open house was, is it possible to increase permits but not necessarily throw them all into the rifle where a lot of the crowding takes place? And I think we talked Panguitch Lake in particular and some of these, if I remember right, some of these units that have more crowding. And I think it's actually a good idea. I think it's something that we should explore and look into so that way as we increase permits, we're not just stacking more rifle hunters on top of rifle hunters in areas like Morgan, you know, in some of those areas that have high private land units, but we can still increase permits and provide a little more opportunity. So I like the idea personally.
Scott, I'm going to have to cut you off, but since
my
concern is
to do it in a month for the following year, it's not going to happen.
All right. Well, since I know you, I can pick on you just a little bit. I'm trying to get you trained. We had the question section, and most of those would have been more appropriate in the question section, but there are very good comments, and I'd encourage you real heavily to bring those same comments in May when we talk. Is that what it is? When we talk about the individual unit plans, because we want to hear those same comments again, and we can address them. But don't give up. There are others that have very similar concerns and comments, and some of those people are up here as well. And don't give up, and please come in May, and let's discuss it again. So sorry to cut you off now, but we'll do it again. The next comment card is Gene Boardman, followed by Berlin King. We all like Gene. We're glad to see you here tonight, Gene.
Thank you. Gene Boardman from Hinckley, Utah. I'd like to comment first about this age objective thing. I don't think that it's the best management plan that we can possibly come up with. I think that if you look at it, there's a lot of bucks that never become 4x4, 26-inch spread. There's a lot of bulls that can go to old age and will never score more than 320 points. But the age objective thing always assumes that if they live long enough, they're going to be 30-plus inch spread bucks and they're going to be 400-point bulls. And it just isn't so. And so I think that we're losing some opportunity on hunting opportunities because we're busy worried about this age objective, and I don't think it's the best management plan. Mike, I hope you heard three or four, and I'll add my voice to it, that we want hunting opportunity, not necessarily bigger bucks. And I think, gosh, it's going along pretty good today, and I think I agree with most of the recommendations. I just ask the RAC board, don't, after we all get through talking, decide to raise that age objective on some of our units, because it cuts down on hunting opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks for the idea, Gene. Just joking. Followed by Verlin King, and then Gib Yardley's the last comment card that I have.
I'm Verlin King. I'm representing Henry Mountain Grazers. Are you guys familiar with the information we've gotten from the USU study? Have you guys seen anything from that? There have been some newspaper articles and stuff like that. I'm also a member of the Bison Committee, and we discussed it at length in our meeting. We're relying on the model, this big model in the sky, and we're giving it a chance as Henry Mountain Grazers to see what it'll do. From the study that's been done, we've seen some good things happen. We've seen sightability drop from 95% to around 90. The main research on that hasn't been printed out yet, and we're waiting on that. And also the mortality rate are some numbers that we're waiting on, and that's in the mix, getting that figured out. There's some things that came out that we already knew, but now we got it documented, so that makes it better, I guess. You can't believe an old cowboy. We found out that the bison in the summer go on the North Mountain. In the winter, they go right down on David Brinkerhoff's winter range, pretty much every one of them. We also found out that winter range is hard to get to, so for convenience sake, USU couldn't study it or didn't study the damage done there. So there's certain things to this study that you got to take with a grain of salt. The one thing they found out that there's rabbits on the Henry Mountains, and they graze quite a bit, and they're not commercial rabbits, they're wildlife rabbits. So when we're studying how much forage is taken by buffalo, deer, we got to figure the rabbits in there too. I have concern about the hunt numbers, that we're not taking off the recruitment. We also, in the bison plan, there's a comment about drought years, that we will approach the wildlife board to issue more bison permits. Hopefully we'll get some rain this summer. If not, you can bet the BLM is going to approach the permittees to decrease their numbers this winter. And when they do that, we're going to come full force and ask the DWR to increase bison permits. Normally this follows about a year or two after the problem, but we'll need it done right away. And that's pretty much all I have for this part. Thank you.
Thank you. Gib?
I want to hold my comment until after you discuss the cow elk.
Okay, I'll shift that to the other one.
Okay, we'll move it to that point. Thank you. Lane?
Question. And I think I need to direct it from Verlin's comments. Isn't there a trigger in place on the bison plan that was put in place several years ago when we was in a drought and we kind of did an emergency cow hunt or something down there, if I remember right, if my memory serves me right, like 4 or 5 years ago?
It does. We did do that. We looked at we took our recommendation through the public process like this, and it passed. And then later that July, we were looking at the conditions, Do you guys remember what year that was? Was it 2010, 11? Right around there? I can't remember exactly, but essentially what we did is we went to the Wildlife Board in July and said, we want to add additional permits to that unit, and we did. And even this year with the recommendation that's gone forth, it's not to get us to 325 adults postseason, it's to get us to 315 to give us a little bit of buffer because we genuinely don't want to be over on that unit, especially during hard years. So, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we'll turn the time to the rack for any comments. Mac?
Yeah, I have several comments on the deer and the elk and the antelope. 20 years ago, you didn't ever see a deer in the field. Hardly ever. Now we have resident herds. And I think that's because of two reasons. Number one, the elk have moved the deer out of their winter range and into the fields and the towns. And number two is that once they hit the fields, then they raise their fawns there. So consequently, that's going to result in a monumental problem with the deer herd, because they're resident herds. They live in the sagebrush right close to the fields. They go in, they go out, in and out. And on the elk herd, I think the management plan you're managing for is under optimum conditions on the summer range. Where does the elk winter? About anywhere they want to. Consequently, they're taking livestock feed in the spring. And that's hurting the economy of the livestock people. So we need to address the elk herd. I think you need to manage for winter range conditions, not summer range. That's a problem with the bison and the elk. Now, the management plan on the pronghorn is for 1,500. We've got 2,000, and that's not counting the ones on the desert by the Henry Mountains. So we need to take a look at that. So we can either take a look at now, or else we can wait till the antlers permits. And maybe we better wait till the antlers permits, because I think that we need to take off more elk and antelope. But my suggestion is, Justin, what do you want to do with these resident deer herds in town?
I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. I think we do have pockets of the state where deer are propagating in towns. We see it in the urban areas. We see it in some of these agricultural fields and different things like that. It's a real issue that you're addressing. I'd probably leave it best up to Teresa to talk about how she would like to approach it here in the southern region, but we can get aggressive with doe permits and some of these things, and we've done that in pockets of the state and been successful in reducing deer in certain areas. So if you have specific areas, let's have a conversation about how to address those deer.
There's a lot of specific areas in Wayne County. I don't know about the Paiute and Garfield counties, yeah, but there's a lot. There's a resident deer herd right in Lyman, in the cemetery. There's a resident deer herd out of Big Rocks on my property.
I'll say this. You know, the last couple of years, as we've looked at depredation, one thing that Scott McFarland and I, he's our private lands public wildlife coordinator, we've had a lot of conversations about how we don't want to grow our deer and elk herds on the back of private landowners. So if we have these situations, let's work together and get it resolved. So,
thank you. Brian, do you have a comment?
I have a comment. The rack here. I just go back to this deer management plan, guys. I'm looking at this, and it seems like the LaSalle Mountains were at 14 bucks per 100 does were trending down and they don't cut tags. I mean, I'm looking at that, guys, and I'm just thinking when we present a recommendation here, I know they can get long-winded, and I know that the board doesn't like to hear them long-winded. You guys down there can agree, but I wonder if we need to say, I don't know if we can word it that says, hey, if you're not over objective, we're not raising tags, and if we're not under it, you know. I just, this trending thing kind of spooks me a little bit, especially like LaSalle's. It's trending down. We're not cutting tags, and I go to bat and I defend the DWR a lot, and I say, look, these guys are not in it just for the money. You know, they need money to make stuff run. I get it. I get that you need money to make stuff run. But when I see that, I think, well, hell. Come on, guys. The tags equal money. We gotta look at that. So as we're doing this proposal or this our recommendation, I just don't know how long-winded we want to make it. And I'm open to discussion to how we want to make it. But I really think there should be something in there to get these into the recommendation, if we're not over objective, we don't raise. If we're under objective, then we cut.
Mike?
Yeah, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Sam Carpenter's concern on late hunts. I remember a few meetings ago when we passed the state mule deer plan that gave sideboards to the management plan. And in that, we had a lengthy discussion on late hunts, and I believe, if I remember right, we were told that no one unit would be increased in that late hunt by two or three. That would be it. And yet we've got three in the 10 area and some in the 8 area. It seems to me like we've kind of jumped the gun on where we thought, as a group, at least I thought, we were going on this. And so I just bring that up, a concern that Sam had, and he suggested that three late hunt permits be allowed on the Zion.
Thank you. Have any other comments from the right? Dale?
I had a lot of comment from people that hunted the beaver this year. They weren't real thrilled with what they were seeing. I'm not sure about on the beaver side of things, but on the Marysville side, they weren't seeing what they thought they should as far as bucks or does. As far as the three-year average, you're just right under. You're at 17.8. The objective is 18 to 20. So in my mind, until we get at least up into what we're talking about, the sideboards, we probably are a little premature in increasing that beaver unit. And I didn't hunt it, but I got a lot of comments of guys saying that they weren't going to hunt that unit again. They were going to switch units. They were that disgruntled with it.
Thank you. Let me summarize a couple things before you make a motion, then we'll entertain one. I just wanted to go down through the comment cards. We had Lee come up. Their group supports the plan as presented. The Beaver SFW opposed to raising permits on the Beaver. The Paul and the Wayne Severe SFW. They want to see the number of tags on the Vernon, the Manti, the Zion, and the Beaver stay the same. The Farm Bureau supports the plan as presented. Wade Heaton, he's happy and supports the plan. That's in my notes. Boyd Corey stood up, asked us not to increase the number of tags. Chris Isom supports the increase in tags and encourages us to leave the plan as is. David Brinkerhoff talked to us about the buffalo herd on the Henrys, and also that there's elk on the Henrys, which is a concern, I know. Dennis Blackburn, and we've heard a lot about deer moving into town, and it's becoming more and more popular throughout southern Utah, and that's a concern, and wanted us to look at the elk herd and the antelope herd. Scott Christensen had some good comments. Hope to hear those again in May. Gene Boardman talked to us about not increasing the age objective and supports opportunity. Verlin King with the Henry Mountain Grazers concerned about the buffalo herd and encouraged us to raise the tags. I'm sure we've all received emails and talked to a number of people in our areas. The emails that I've received and the people I've talked to, probably at least 95% of those would like to see the number of tags stay the same without increases. There was less than 5% that were happy to see the number of tags increase for increased opportunity. And that's what I've seen in the comments that I've had. So with that summary, then if Rusty's ready to start a motion, we'll entertain that motion. And Dale?
On the Henrys, there were some numbers thrown out as far as what the percentage of harvest was, how many were harvested on the Henry buffalo hunt last year, and then what do you expected the recruitment to be for this year, and is these tag numbers enough to cover that recruitment?
Yeah, can I get some help on the harvest? Okay. As far as the permit numbers go, right now, post-season, I think the estimate was 374 adults, so that's already taken in. That's what we have to get down to 325 by this next year. And so with 60 permits, I know they're hoping to harvest 47 cows or bulls with those permits. And then in addition to that, they take into natural mortality, as was discussed with some of the collar stuff. So the idea with these permits is to get from 374 adults down to 315. And yeah. Jake brings up a good point. We also survey that in July to verify the model. And so if we fly it and we're over and it's substantial, we'll certainly call for more permits. I mean, that's always an option as we've talked about the drought conditions and things like that with the July racking board. So I'll get back to you on the question was percent success last year. How many did we kill? Okay. Our recruitment is already taken into account because it's the 374 adults, and then we'll get an idea of our cow to calf ratio this summer when we classify. So
harvest last year looks to be about 64, which was actually more than what we predicted, and we ended up getting down to around 305, 310 this past winter. So I'll have to assume their recruitment is correct. That sounds about right, 77 calves or so. And we're not trying to kill everything. It is the estimates this year are to get it to around 310, 315. So it is allowing for some growth because we actually went down lower than expected last year due to the increased success on the harvest.
Okay, Rusty, you ready?
Chairman, I'd like to make a recommendation from our
motion. Need to speak up a little bit. I don't think that's on, maybe.
That's. I'd like to make a motion to accept the recommendations on the Bucks, Bulls, and Once in a Lifetime, with the exception of the Vernon unit, no increase, the Manti unit, no increase, the Zion and the Beaver, no increase.
Okay, we have a motion and a second from Lane. Do we have
That's in general season deer tags, right? In deer tags, though, you're not.
Just in deer tags. Okay. Do we have any discussion on the motion, Mike?
Rusty, would you be willing to add the late tag number on the Zion down to 3?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, what about the second? Okay. All right, so that's been modified to...
We'll just call it part of the original
motion. The original motion, then. Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes. We have some other units I'd like to see inputted in that, Rusty, because we had the Beaver, which you addressed, and I was glad of that. LaSalle, we've talked about. It's below the objective completely. North Slope, 16.1, and the objective's 18. South Slope, Bonanza, 13.3. I think, and like Brian says, somehow we need to put that threshold in there that says if they're not making objective, they should not be increased. They probably should be decreased. But I don't know how to word it.
Well, I think we should deal with this with an amendment to the motion first. And
okay.
Let's discuss if you want to make an amendment. We'll call for a second, then we'll have a discussion on that amendment.
Okay. Rusty, go over those units one more time. Vernon, Manti, Zion, and what was the
other? The Beaver.
See you, Mike.
Okay.
I think...
Well, let's get a motion first and a second, and then we can discuss it.
That's what I was saying.
So
should I amend it or make a motion to amend it?
Make a motion to amend.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to amend the Rusty's to include LaSalle, North Slope, and South Slope Bonanza, which are below objective.
So do you want those to go down?
Not increased. I'm just going to say not increased.
Well, LaSalle's isn't increasing.
That's right. It isn't.
So, and I'm just trying to understand what your motion is so she can do her job.
So, read that list to me again.
Could it help a lot?
Okay, you're right. They're not increasing now. Well, we need to decrease those.
The North Slope did decrease.
Yeah, the North Slope decreased.
So, we're good there. So, we're good on that one.
LaSalle, it stayed the same. It needs to decrease. But how do you know? The biologists, they increased like 200 tags. And
Would you be willing to let me
take a go ahead
about it?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'd like to make an amendment to the motion that we lower tag numbers on the LaSalle Mountains by 150 tags. And that we lower tag numbers on the South Slope Bonanza by 150 tags.
I'll withdraw mine and support that one.
South and South Slope.
By 150 tags. You'll second that?
What about?
Yeah, I'll second that.
What about Dutton?
I didn't look at that. I didn't think that was yellow.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Amend.
Who was the second on the amendment?
That was Mike Staley, and the motion was by Brian. So the amendment that we're discussing right now is to lower the tag numbers on the LaSalle and the South Slope Bonanza by 150 tags on each. And do we have any discussion on the amendment? Lane?
I'd just like to make a comment. Both of those region racks are going to be taking place in the next 2 days. I'm just wondering if those issues shouldn't be forwarded on to the RAC chairman over there, that they're a concern we have, and let the individual regions take note of that, and maybe let them, their biologists, be involved in this.
I hear what you're saying, and I...
almost agree with you, other than they tell us what to do all the time. So I'm kind of the opinion that this is a state problem. And I think that we ought to make the motion. That way at least the board's going to see it, and then they can discuss it, and they can do whatever they want with it. But if we make the motion and it gets to the board, then they can do what they want with it. If it never makes it to the board, it's a little bit more it's a little harder for them to bring it up. So that's why I say it. That's why I think we should do it here.
Dave, I got an amendment.
Okay.
Well, we need to vote on this one first.
Do you have a comment, Mac? Let's see what your comment is.
No, I want to make an amendment to the once in a lifetime to add 10 bison permits.
Okay, that'll be a second amendment. Let's get through this one first.
Okay.
Okay, right. Thank you. I just want to see what your comment was.
No, I don't have any comment.
Okay, so right now we're going, unless there's
just
further discussion.
Just doing deer right now, right?
We're just doing deer.
This is for, are you going to discuss elk, or this is for everything, and we're going to add bison to it, and then you're done?
I mean, we need to vote on the amendment.
Let's get the amendment out.
Okay, so that's right. We're going to vote on the amendment, unless there's further discussion. All those in favor of the amendment, raise your hand. All those opposed?
Two.
The amendment carries.
6-2.
6-2. Okay. Now, the main motion has been amended, and
have a desire to amend it again.
And we have a desire for one more amendment. Mac. I'd
like to amend the main motion to increase the bison permits by 10.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I have a question.
Can we have a second on the amendment? And now we're open to discussion. Brian.
Mike seconded it. How would you like to see those tags allocated? If they're any hunter's choice, cow only, what was your thoughts on that?
On hunter's choice.
I have a question just on a hunter's choice tag. What's the percentage of cows versus calves on average that get taken on a hunter's choice on a bison hunt? That's what I meant. You knew what I was thinking. Thank you.
It's generally about 15% of the harvest is female.
Okay.
Mike, are you okay with a second
yes.
on that? Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment? Sean? Okay. All those in favor? All those opposed? One abstention?
Got 6 in favor and
7 in favor and 1 abstention.
7 in favor.
Okay. Amendment carries. Do we have any further discussion or amendments on the main motion?
Do we state what the motion is now?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we have an amended motion, a motion that's been amended twice. So the motion in front of you now is to accept the recommendations, except for no increase for deer tags on the Vernon, the Manti, the Zion, and the Beaver. Also to lower the number of tags on the LaSalle and the South Slope Bonanza by 150 tags on each unit. And then to increase the number of bison tags on the Henry Mountain by 10 hunter choice tags. So that's the combined motion at this point. Oh, excuse me. And to decrease, I do have that in here. And to decrease the number of late tags on the Zion down to 3. Thank you, Mike. I missed that.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Okay, we're ready for the next agenda item, which is the antlerless permit recommendation for 2015, and we have Justin and Teresa listed here.
Cool.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight I'm going to present the antlerless recommendations for 2015. So to begin, we'll start with deer again. I know I showed this graph in the last presentation, but again, the take-home message is the last 6 years or so, our fawn production has been pretty good in the state. It's between 61 and 65 fawns per 100 does. Last year, I presented our statewide survival rates through the racks, and it was well received, and I'm going to present it again tonight. Essentially, what we do is go around to seven different units throughout the state, and we radio collar adults and fawns, and this gives us an estimate of survival. And as you can see, the yellow line there, the adult survival rates have varied between 84 and 86% annually, which is normal for the West. And then our fawn survival, 2010, 2011, was about 53-52% survival. And then in 2012, it jumped up to 78, followed it with a 78 the next year. And this last year, 82% of the fawns that we radio collars survived, which was really good news. And it allows us to do a really good job of detecting trend in our populations. And so with that information, this graph here depicts the number of deer we have in the state over the last 20 plus years. And as you can see, in the early 90s, we had a decrease, increased the deer population, then it fell back down, and we did that a couple times. And the last 3 years or so, with the production and survival rates that we've had, we've seen really good growth in our deer herds. And right now we estimate there's 355,000 deer in the state. For antlerless deer permits, over the last 6 years, we've decreased in our antlerless permits and valleyed out at about 290 in 2012. This year, we're recommending an increase of 215 permits and a total of 625 total antlerless deer permits. The new hunts that are being proposed are primarily to reduce deer damage on private lands. And in addition to that, we're recommending some new hunts, one on the North Slope, Manila, Philpico, and there's a boundary change associated with that. And then in the southern region, recommending a new hunt on the Circleville North and Circleville South, and then the Panguitch Lake, Panguitch Valley unit as well. So right here, these are the various units that have permit recommendation increases: 50 on the North Slope, 60 on the Beaver, 30 on Mount Dutton, a total of 225 on Panguitch Lake, and with the other units from last year, that's how we get to our 625 recommended antlerless deer permits. Moving on to elk, the statewide population trend. We've slowly been climbing for the last 15 years or so. This year, we estimate there's just over 81,000 elk in the state, just a minor decrease from last year. Our statewide population objective is just under 71,000, so we're about 10,000 over in the state. This graph is a new one that we haven't showed in the past. Generally, we've just showed our public draw permits. But what we've done is we converted a lot of units to what we call antlerless elk control permits, which is essentially if you have a buck or a bull permit or a once-in-a-lifetime, you can buy an antlerless elk permit valid for that same unit that you're hunting at a reduced price. And with that, it's really increased over the last couple of years. So for public draw permits, we're recommending a decrease this year. Last year we had 16,775, and this year we're recommending just under 15,000. But with that, the antlerless elk control permits have really taken off, and we're killing a lot of the same elk we were with hunters that are already in the field. So we're not adding more hunters to many of these units. They're already there with a buck or a bull tag. So our antlerless elk control permits, this year we're recommending three new units. One is on the Vernon, one is on Mount Dutton, and the other is on Pine Valley. And again, this is just an effort for deer and elk hunters that are already in the field to be able to harvest a cow, so we don't have to continually add more hunters afield with public draw permits. Looking at a regional breakdown of all these units, in the northern region, the population objective is 11,825. We're currently close to 18,500, so we're over objective in that unit. And with that, we're recommending increases in permits on that unit, a total of 3,285. In addition to that, recommending a new hunt on the Cache Valley Northeast benches. I think in the RAC packet it's called Richmond Hyde Park, but we already had a hunt boundary with that, and so we've simply changed it to this. But again, this is to target depredating elk in that area. For the central region, no new hunts or boundaries are being proposed. Their objective is 5,300, and they're currently at 5,900, and they're recommending a decrease in permits. They had 560 last year and recommending 430 this year. Part of this is because of the uptick of antlerless control harvest that they're seeing there. In the northeast part of the state, recommending a decrease in permits by close to 2,000. And most of that's occurring on the South Slope Yellowstone, the Aviniquin, and the Current Creek. There's over 1,000 permits being cut on the Wasatch unit this year, mostly because of the increased harvest we got through antlerless elk control. And in addition, recommending new hunts on the Book Cliffs, Bitter Creek East, the West Daggett, and Manila Philpico units. I'm sorry, the West Daggett is just a boundary clarification, not a new hunt. For the southeast part of the state, their objective is 17,400. They're currently just shy of 17,500, and they're recommending a decrease in permits of about 85, with a slight increase occurring on the Manti. For the southern region, recommending a slight increase in permits. With that, we're recommending decreases on the Fillmore and the Mount Dutton, but increases on the Beaver, Ponsagant, and Pinguitch Lake units for a total of 3,875 permits. And the objective in the southern region is 15,640, and the current estimate is 15,715. With that, recommending new hunts or boundary changes on the just new hunts on the Beaver, Panguitch Lake, and Ponsagant units.
Justin, let me stop you right there. The antlerless control permit is a new thing here in the southern region.
Okay.
Would you explain what that means, like for the Dutton and some of those? Let's take a little bit of time to do that now, because there's going to be a lot of questions about it as we go.
Sure. Yeah. So the antlerless elk control permit it's been had in many parts of the state for a long time, and it's picking up in popularity. Hunters really like it. Essentially what it is if you have any antlered big game permit or a once-in-a-lifetime permit, we'll take the Wasatch, for instance. If you have a Wasatch deer permit, you can essentially go buy an antlerless elk control permit over the counter for a reduced price. I think they're $30, and you can essentially hunt deer and antlerless elk at the same time. And the idea behind it is you don't have to add more hunters to the field to harvest your elk. With antlerless elk control, you get a lower hunter success because you're hunting several big game species. But with that said, it's enough harvest to where you can reduce public draw permits and still let the guys that are in the field on that unit have a chance at a cow elk in addition to their buck or bull. Did that help, Kevin?
Yeah, so in essence, like on the Dutton, we decreased by 100 permits there, but we added antlerless control, which means however many number of buck hunters we have, they can also get an antlerless elk tag.
Correct.
To hunt while they're hunting deer.
Yeah, and the spike hunters would be another good example. Any hunter that's on that unit can essentially get a cow permit. Yeah.
Or big bulls.
Mm-hmm.
You drew a limited entry.
Yeah, limited entry, all of it. So if there's more questions, I can... I want... Okay.
They're horned.
Okay. For doe pronghorn permits, last year we had 669 permits statewide. This year we're recommending 644. Those decreases in permits are occurring on the Cache Morgan Southridge Ogden unit by 25 permits. No changes on the other units. And no new hunts or boundary changes are being proposed. For antlerless moose, no hunts or boundary changes are being proposed, and not recommending any public draw permits for antlerless moose again this year. And that's all I have. Thank you. And as we get into question and answer session, I'm more than happy to take a stab at a lot of the statewide recommendations that were had for antlerless elk and some of that stuff in the southern region. I don't know, nor am I going to pretend to know these units as well as Teresa and the biologists. So if there's local questions, let's steer them that direction. You'll get a better answer. So thank you.
Okay. Let's go to questions from the RAC. Mike and then Mike.
Yeah, the spike, as you mentioned, the spike works about the same way the spike hunt, where you can take a cow in the unit that you're hunting if you have a cow permit. Are you going to go, number one, are you going to go to where you can buy that cow permit over the counter, or are you going to still have to draw for it?
The antlerless elk control permits, those are over the counter.
Even with bull elk or even with the spike elk too?
All you have to show is that you have a permit that allows you to be valid on that unit, and you can buy an antlerless elk control permit
okay.
that's good for that unit, yes.
Okay, and then the second one, this is the second year, at least down here, that we've had you've been able to hunt a cow during the spike hunt in the hunt that you're hunting. Have we got any feedback on how many, an increase on how many elk have been taken, cow or antlerless elk have been taken during that time period?
I'm not really sure which unit you're talking about specifically.
Well, I'm just asking, has the harvest on the antlerless elk increased because of that program?
Oh, I see. For the antlerless elk control permits valid for the southern region?
Yes.
No, he's not talking about antlerless control permits. He's talking about how that if you have a draw tag for a cow,
mm-hmm.
you can kill that during your deer hunt or during your elk hunt or during the dates that are on that tag. So how has that changed antlerless elk?
What impact has that had on the harvest? Has it increased the harvest on the cow?
I think it would be pretty
trying to
minor.
Get to your objective.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps because if you can kill that cow, it gives you more.
But you
days
don't know any numbers as
no,
far
I don't,
as
I don't have good data. I can look into it and get back with you. I don't have a good answer off the top of my head.
Okay.
My guess is it's going to be pretty minimal, but I don't know. So.
Okay, Mike.
I had a question on the antlerless deer permits. You're hunting these does. Is it like on beaver, for instance? Is that all of the beaver unit, or is it going to be specific boundaries and timing? That was other. Timing and boundaries is my question on that.
Let's get the biologist to answer the beaver
okay.
doe permit one.
Oh, all right. So they're target. You're going to target those animals that are causing the trouble. Is what I'm asking.
Yeah. On the let me go to that recommendation real quick. So for the southern,
where's it at? It's on the back.
Okay, for the beaver, those 60 permits. What's that one?
I'm Vance Mumford. I handle the depredation portion of the management on the beaver and the Dutton units around the Circleville area. So we have a really high number of deer that are using the agriculture fields around Circleville. And some of these deer are resident deer, born in the hay fields, never leave the hay fields. Some of them are just migratory deer, and we've got a lot of pressure on the fields there. And so it's a small boundary. We've given about a mile or so buffer around the private land in order to facilitate public hunter access, and we really do need to harvest these animals to ease that pressure there. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, time and season. What we wanted to do was start it a little early, so we started October 4th or 5th. What's that?
The third through the
October 3rd to catch the deer. So hunters hunting early will have an opportunity to catch deer that are resident there. And then we extended it to the end of the rifle deer hunt to make sure that we get the harvest that we need there.
Same with the Dutton.
They're just the road is separating them right by Circleville, so exactly the same.
Question. Would it make sense to also hunt the does with archery and black powder just to put more pressure on them? It seems like if you have a hunt on it, kind of helps keep them out of the field a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so if a person were to draw out on that, say that Circleville hunt, and he also has an archery or muzzleloader buck deer tag or a... like a general season elk tag for that unit, I believe he can still hunt that, even though it's early, say August or September, during that archery hunt or muzzleloader hunt, he can hunt that doe. And so we will see some of that, and so we'll see, you know, some harvest trickling in through all those primitive weapon hunts.
Thank you. Okay, Sean, let's give you a chance to talk. along today. I had a question on the plateau antelope. This is the first year in a while that I think you've trapped on Parker Mountain. Is that going to continue? And is that included in your management for your recommendations?
Yes, it is. We'll continue to trap there, Sean. We weren't able to catch as many as we'd like to this year because we crashed a helicopter there. And so that would have helped bring our numbers a little closer to our objective this year. But yes, we plan on hunting next year and trapping next year.
Mike?
Yes, on the Panguitch Lake late hunt or the doe hunt that you're having, does those numbers, the increase, is that going to be translocated, or are the translocated included in that number, or? No, for next year. All the SFW is done.
We're not planning on any more translocations.
You're referring to the increase in the antlerless permits for the Perrin Front? Is that what
yes.
you're saying? Those are hunting permits. At this time, we don't have plans for a transplant okay. next year, but who knows, it may happen. But at this time, we don't.
Okay.
Lane.
I have a question for Jim. How many antelope did we trap this winter? I mean, how many were taken off the Parker?
246.
We're having an argument. 237 or 246? One or two. We'll arm wrestle later in the parking lot and decide. Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell me.
Okay, any more questions from the rack? Okay, Rusty.
Just on your doe and fawn survival study.
Yeah.
Do you know what was killing the? Do you have any way to identify what caused the death of the fawns, and what changed to make it spike?
No.
Or a gut feel.
Yeah. The purpose of the study isn't to get site specific causes of mortality on each individual, because there's just so many callers and the man hours to go do that. And plus, when you monitor, most of these are still in VHF, which means you got to fly them to detect them. And at that point, it's very difficult. It's hard to know. I mean, certainly all the causes, though. I know when I was in the region, we had some that were vehicle collision, we had predation, a lot of those types of things, and we'd go out on them. So there's a whole myriad of factors. Yeah.
So. Okay, if there's no further questions, we'll open it up to questions from the... Oh, one more. Dale.
On your aerial flights for elk, did you do any units this year? And with the lack of snow, is that going to push the flights further back?
Yeah,
for the units that were coming up, how's that going to be handled?
No, that's a good question. We across the state, I mean, we just didn't get the snow conditions to fly, and we've learned that when you try to force these flights and you fly on poor snow conditions, all you end up with is a bad count and even more confusion than when you started. So we just decided to push everything back, and every unit that we were going to fly this last winter will now be flown this upcoming winter. So.
Okay. Questions from the public? Okay. Gene?
Thank you. On this controlled cow permit, as I understand it, if I want to hunt a cow on the Dutton, I can buy a spike tag. And then I don't have to worry about the draw. I get a cow tag for a reduced rate, too?
That's correct.
Well, okay. Will my hunting party and everybody else's hunting party be out there with two tags, and it'll be a great time. We can shoot cows and spikes and just take them all off the Dutton.
Good question. Any more questions? Okay, we have, come on up if you have a question, and be sure to state your name. And remember to keep it to questions at this time, and then we'll open it up to comments here in a minute.
David Brinkroff. My question is, you trapped 200 and some antelope. Where did they go?
On the other end of the unit.
I don't have an exact list of where they all went. We sent them to four different regions. Our region, the southern region, didn't take any. Do you have the list? Okay.
So some went to Hatch Point. Some went to the Book Cliffs. I think some went on the Aviniquin or Anthro.
West Desert.
Anthro, and then the West Desert. Those are the four units. So.
None on the Eastern Range.
No.
So West Desert, northern part of the West Desert, not southwest.
The Snake Valley part you're talking about?
Yeah, west of 12.
Braden Richmond, I've got a couple questions, kind of switching gears in the middle, too, if you don't mind. First question is, as I'm going down these antlerless permits and looking at them, it seems like most of them, you know, are smaller. If you're looking at them as percentages, we're looking somewhere between 10 and 20% on most units. 20% would be pretty aggressive, except for the Dutton and Boulder. Dutton, you're looking at one-third. And on Boulder, you're looking at greater than 50%. Is there a control that we have on antlerless hunts to say we aren't going to go above a percentage of the overall population?
No, there's not a control per se. That we don't have any sideboards that say you can't go over a 50% increase or decrease. And one reason we don't is we've had units where they've moved, say, off the cache onto the Ogden, and you had to get pretty aggressive because your part of your herd moved over. And so, no, we don't put any of those sideboards on us like that.
The next question.
Braden, let me add to that. Another part of that is success rates vary widely.
Yeah.
The Dutton in particular is difficult to get cow harvest. And so even though that's a high percentage of the overall population, success on the hunt's fairly low.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't know that much about the Dutton. I've only been on it once. But what I do know is I had three phone calls when they knew I was coming to this meeting tonight and said, we hunt the Dutton and our elk are gone and they're wanting to kill 800 elk. Will you please say something? I said, yeah, I will. So with that input that they aren't seeing elk and we're doing over 50% tags, that's where that question came from. But I don't have a lot of firsthand knowledge on that unit. The second question I have, and I should know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it and I'll probably be reminded of the answer. When was the last time we raised objectives on elk? We've spent millions and millions of dollars in this state doing habitat work trying to enhance what we have, trying to make the range better. When was the last time we increased tags or objectives on elk?
To my knowledge, the last time we took a look at the objectives throughout the units was in 2012. And I know the Southern Region put some committees together and re-upped their plans at that time. Did you guys do increases?
We had a net loss, I think.
Fish Lake increase. So are we throwing that money away?
What was that? Fish Lake increase?
Yeah, Fish Lake increase.
What year was that?
Significant increase. It was about...
Significant.
It is.
Okay. So per unit, fish... 800. Yeah.
800. Sorry, I shouldn't say
that. So if... That's interesting because I didn't realize that wasn't a loaded question, but if in fact we decrease the objective in the southern unit, we're spending millions of dollars.
We haven't decreased.
I thought we said we...
On one unit, we decreased.
Oh, okay, not net. I thought you said net decrease.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Okay.
I forgot about
that. Okay, never mind. Anyways, I still think, you know, we might need to reevaluate what we're doing here. If we're spending all this money and we can't get more elk, sportsmen are spending a lot of money. Sportsmen want animals, and sportsmen are sharing that money in the communities. It's going to the state. It's benefiting a lot of people, and sportsmen want animals. I just wonder if we're really looking at that and if there's opportunity to look at that again.
Yeah. There's certainly opportunity to look at it again. What we'll do is this summer we're rewriting the statewide elk plan, and shortly after that, unit plans will be renewed. And in the statewide plan, the population objective is the summation of the units. And so as those units get looked at,
that'll be part of
them. Yeah. Yep. So as part of the unit plans, correct?
Greg Lobb, Utah Farm Bureau. My question is dealing with those cow permits that you can get if you have a spike tag or a deer tag. Is that number of cow tags included in this 14,000, or is there a cap on those? Or because I remember years at Boulder when we did that, the next year there weren't any. I mean, we just slaughtered the cows.
I apologize. What was the question?
So he's asking if the control permits are included in the number, the 14,000. And the answer to that, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, is that's in addition. That the 14,000 is the number of cow permits that will go into the draw. Yeah. And then the units that have antlerless control permits are on top of that. But it's limited to the number of people that have another tag for that unit. And Justin can speak more to this. The success rate, that seems like a lot, but the success rate on those antlerless control permits is fairly low. So even though it sounds like a lot, the increase in the other units that we've tried it hasn't been, it increases some, but not greatly. Justin, do you want to, I mean, it's like 10% or 7%.
The success rate?
Yeah.
It's about 22% statewide.
On the antlerless control,
yes,
permits? Okay, 22%.
I tend to disagree with you a little bit, because last 2 or 3 years, however it's been since we've been able to, if we draw a cow tag, we can shoot that cow while we're hunting spikes at Boulder. Every one of us come out of there with a cow. Whether we come out of there with a spike or not, every one of us that have a cow tag come out of there with a cow. So I disagree. I think the numbers are higher.
But it's similar.
Okay.
More questions from the public? Go ahead. State your name, please.
My name is David Isom, and I'm from Hurricane. And I have a question on the deer herd status of the antlers permit and your recommendations for Zion. For your objectives, your plan is 9,000, and over the last 3 years, that population has gone from 10,500 to 15,000. And my question is, why is there no antlerless permits, deer permits in Zion, one? And the second question is, on your buck to doe ratios in Zion, the objective is 18 to 20, and the past 3 year average is 23.9. And so your buck ratios, if your ratios of the buck to doe ratios is up that high, your buck population is up as part of that 15,000 deer. Why are we not issuing more buck permits and even issuing any antlerless permits? There's none. I don't understand that.
Thank you.
Let him respond to that question first, and then you can go ahead.
The DWR did recommend an increase in buck permits tonight, but the RAC chose not to do that. And so that answers that question. As for the population objective, that population objective of 9,000 was a number that was that the DWR came up with back in 1995 or so. Increases or improvements in our modeling process and our data, we've seen some large increases. We've had great production and we've had good survival on that unit, so we have increased. In this management plan process, I do anticipate recommending an increase in the population objective for the Zion unit.
Which,
What's your range conditions for the Zion?
Range conditions are doing pretty well on the Zion unit. There are pockets that we do see a little bit of damage, but there are places where we see damage when the population is down around 6,000. I mean, it's just localized areas. There's a lot of habitat still out there.
Okay, go ahead. State your name, please.
I'm Jesse Hatch. I'd just like to simply ask why control permits on the Dutton or on any of these cow elk units. And another question is, when was the last time we had a good accurate count on elk on these units?
With the Dutton, the last time they flew it was in 2013. They counted roughly 1,300 elk. With that projection, it put us about 2,100 elk in 2013. So that was the last time that it was flown. Our overall harvest on the Dutton for cow elk is in 30% range. And so we decreased the permits a little bit this year in hopes that we could increase some harvest with that, with the antlerless elk control permits this year by doing that. So that's why we decided to do that. The Dutton's the only one that's doing that.
What number did you guys use for the crossover rate?
As far as what?
As far as elk, that where the Dutton's a winter unit and most elk go to the Dutton to winter for their winter range. I mean, what do you guys use to find out how many elk cross over from different units, from the Monroe, the Beaver, the Boulder, Pontagon?
Basically, when we flew that, we just flew those units. We had two helicopters, and we flew the Boulder, the Dutton at the same time. So if it was an elk that was standing on the Dutton, it was counted as a Dutton elk. Same with the Monroe and the Boulder. So that's the numbers that we had counted the day that those elk were flown.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Dennis Blackburn, I just have one question. Do you have a statewide antelope plan?
Yes.
Can I get a copy of it?
On the website, yes.
Yeah. Mason Lefevre, you can take my comment card out too because it was more of a question. I was curious if the new hunt on the Beaver had a new boundary, and if so, if it went further off I-15 than the old one, because the old one it seemed like the cows were out of the boundary after the first week.
Yeah, that old boundary that we had was specifically to address depredation issues in that area. And with the lack of snowfall, we did have a fairly poor success rate on that. The new boundary is a unit-wide boundary and will take place during the spike elk hunt to help with cow numbers and killing cow elk. But the other hunt is still that same boundary and is in effect.
Riley, speak into the mic.
And is in effect to help with the depredation. So that boundary is the same. The new one is unit-wide.
My name's Verlin King. My question is, this Boulder Plateau, the last couple of years, you've changed the boundaries. It's broken up east and west, same with the Plateau Fish Lake, Thousand Lake. I found, when I finally drew out, that I wasn't real happy with those boundaries. I'd like to know if you think they're a success or what you found with the boundary change.
Yeah, those multiple boundaries on Dutton, Monroe, Boulder, and Fish Lake are designed to kill elk where they stand. And we do our very best to put an appropriate number of permits in place so that we can kill the elk that we think we need to reduce that population or to hold that population at objective. I can't always guess the weather, and so some of those hunts aren't as good as they should be. However, this last year, the hunts were very well. Most of them were in the 30% range. The hunt that covered the four units, I don't know what you want to call it, the mega hunt, that was much higher. That was up in the 80% success.
Okay, we'll go to the comment section, and we have Gene Boardman first,
followed by Stanton.
And followed by Stanton Glebe.
I recall a few years ago, and I've been coming to these meetings pretty regular, that there was some program like you're talking about for the Dutton on this control thing on the Fish Lake. And the next year, everybody was screaming like a gut-shot panther about it, all those cows being gone from there. I think that's going to be the situation here. I think that it's interesting, but maybe it'll... I'm not sure what the objective is, to cut 100 cows out of the draw and then put this unlimited thing on the cows the other way. But I know what my plan is for me and my family. As I understand it, we'll put in for cow tags. If we don't get cow tags, we'll buy spike tags and cow tags. And I'm afraid that a bunch of other people will. And I think that there's going to be people who weren't planning on hunting on the Dutton. When they see that opportunity, they'll merge there too. And I'm just worried that it might turn out like Fish Lake did when everybody was screaming about no cows.
Stanton, followed by Lee Tracy. Good to see you, Stanton. It's been about a year since we saw you last, and glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you. I'm Stanton Glebe, Kingston, Utah. I'm representing the Paiute County Ranchers. I'm the president of the association there. We formed this association to start protecting our rights, and I'll tell you what, the elk have overrun us in the last few years. Just the other day, Keith Anderton went out to one of his spring ranges and had the beaver ranger with him here. And she told him there's no way he was going to turn out on that. He'd completely depleted that range. Keith told her he hadn't had a cow out there in 5 years. That's like Max says, this winter, these elk where they're wintering is really, really a problem. And I know a lot of you would like to see them elk stay where they're at, but you're not feeding them. And you're not taking the licking on them like us ranchers are taking. Myself, I've just been in a battle for a year and a half with my ranger over there, if he's still there, Jason Klink. Oh, there he's at. Over the same thing, lack of feed. Those elk, Manning Meadow on the Monroe Mountain, the elk take it. That's private property. So you've got a pretty good deal going here, and as far as Mount Dutton goes, I run sheep on Mount Dutton. I know Mount Dutton like the back of my hand. And you're right, those elk pull in there to winter. And last year, like some of you say, they weren't there like you. So that's what you need to do on that hunt. You need to hunt all those mountains at the same way. You need to hunt all five of them together, and the reason there wasn't on Mount Dutton, that's open country, and you shoot them up once there, and the next day they're back over on the Monroe Mountain or on the on the Boulder Mountain. So what you've got's a pretty good deal, but you need to, those elk numbers do need to be controlled. And what we are, we're not against wildlife, that's for sure, ranchers. In fact, there's nothing I'd rather do than hunt deer. And those deer around Circleville, I run sheep just above Circleville there, and I've give up on running them up in there above Circleville because the coyotes eat everything I take in there. those deer are no different. They're not going to go back in those hills with those coyotes right there. They're going to live right in those fields where they got a little protection. And even worse than the coyotes is the mountain lion. That's an animal you don't see what they kill, because they bury or pack off everything they kill. And they're all over that mountain right there. What needs to be done is you need to control those predators. Then the deer would move back up into the mountains there. Some of them deer that's raised in the fields won't, but when I was a kid, well, even into the 60s, when I was growing in the 70s, those deer lived on the mountains. They didn't live in the fields. On the spring of the year, there'd be a few there, but they pretty well went to the mountains. So what I'm suggesting you do is control those predators and control those elk and put us a herd of deer back so we're all happy. I don't think there's anyone in here that wouldn't just soon shoot a big buck deer as them elk, and those deer don't do the damage like those elk. Wherever those elk are at, they're doing damage to some rancher. Sorensen outfit right over on the other side, the Beaver here, they just took a 50% cut on the 300 cow unit there. And that cost them a lot of money. At the same time, they own about all of Johns Valley, and there they are feeding 150 head of elk year-round in their fields a lot of times. Them kind of problems need to be addressed, and they need to be serious. One other thing, those sage hens, there's going to come a problem that's going to affect us all. That's no different. When we was in our younger days, sage hens everywhere. But ranchers controlled the predators. I want to say one more thing. If ranchers set all ranchers on that board right there, you'd have a different herd of wildlife than what you got. You ought to. And I want to comment you on one more thing tonight. I seen you vote the first time tonight with Mac there.
Me and Mac get along pretty good.
Well, you ought to pay a lot of attention to what he says, because if you'll vote that way, you'll soon find yourself in a lot better shape on this wildlife. If you don't vote that way, I'm afraid she's going to come just like this year right here. If we don't get some storm, you're going to see one heck of a wreck before summer's over with those on all those grazing allotments. And I don't know. I hope it don't get to that. But I'll tell you what, those elk numbers, you can't go from no elk in 1970 to thousands and not have some conflicts. And they need to get back in line. Thank you.
Thank you, Stanton. Lee Tracy. Followed by Verlin King.
Lee Tracy, United Wildlife Cooperative. Again, United Wildlife Cooperative supports the recommendations as presented by the DWR. Thanks.
Verlin King followed by Wade
Heaton. So we have Verlin King followed by Wade Heaton.
Verlin King, Wayne County Grazers Association. I'm the president, and I'd like to echo everything that Stanton said. We're all in it together as ranchers and grazers. This year we had that herd of elk into Lyman. It was an open year. There was hardly any snow. There was no reason for them to come into those fields in Lyman. And when we tried to take care of it, there was a lot of heartburn among a lot of people there that didn't want them harvested and didn't want them taken care of. If we'd have had snow this year, there'd be a lot more elk in Lyman, Fremont, Horse Valley, and Teasdale, Grover. They're just the elk. There's a problem there, and whether they're pushing the deer into the valleys, the problem is the winter range. And you can talk about how much money you've spent to increase the habitat. It doesn't always depend on how much money you spent. Down on the Henry Mountains, that bison, they went out on tarantula and they put in a well. In our bison meeting, we asked them how many buffalo had been watering there, and they said three. They spent $300, I don't know how much money they spent there, but they had three three buffalo water there, and they said, be careful when you go out there to relieve yourself because there's a trail camera behind every bush. I said all three of those buffalo were killed during the hunt. So even though a lot of this money's been spent on habitat, a lot of times it's not winter range habitat, and if it is, the water source is important. And if you don't have water and if you don't have snow for the wildlife to water on in the winter, those habitat projects haven't done any good. I just want to echo what Stanton said. That's what we're all dealing with as ranchers and farmers, with the wildlife problems that we're getting now. You talk about the fish lake and that hunt. Oh, it was traumatic to the public, but it saved a lot of pain and suffering of the elk from the years that followed after that, with the big snows and the way the climate worked out. And the reason those hunts were instigated was because there was an overpopulation. There was too many elk there. It was a management program. The public didn't think it was right, but it needed to be done. And if we don't manage these elk and this wildlife, you're going to be in the same situation. You're going to have to do some of these management programs that aren't real popular with the public. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Wade followed by Craig Lobb.
Wade Heaton representing Friends of the Pontagon. We just wanted to voice support for the division's recommendation for the Pontagon antlerless hunts, the cow hunts. Division, especially Josh Pollock, our biologist, and Teresa, need to be commended. They've been pretty proactive in keeping track of that elk herd and what the wishes, the difficulties we have there. There's a pretty significant increase this year on cow hunts. There's actually an additional hunt been added. Good things, very good things. Anyway, just want to support that. Thanks.
I have Craig followed by David Isom.
Craig Lobb, Utah Farm Bureau. We'd like to see more cows killed. We're 11,000 over statewide over objective. I was looking here like the Southwest Desert. That country's in terrible shape between the Mustangs and the weather, and we're not taking any more cows there. And some of these others, we need to get her, particularly with the habitat conditions, we need to get our elk numbers down.
David followed by Jason
Kling.
David Isom again from Hurricane. Just following up on the questions that I had, and I didn't realize until we started looking at the antlerless permit recommendations that Zion unit in 3 years increased 42% from 10,500 to 15,000, and yet you're not wanting to allow an additional 100 permits, or you cut 10 permits after season to 3. And I just don't understand that. When you got that kind of increase in the population of the deer herd, and the ratio of bucks to doe is stable at 23%, 24%, doesn't make sense to me. And so my recommendation is that you allow some antlerless permits in the Zion unit, as well as so those additional hundred that the division is recommending. It does make sense to me when you've got that kind of increase. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Jason, followed by Jesse Hatch.
I
I'm Jason Kling. I'm the Richfield District Ranger with the Fish Lake National Forest. So our acting forest supervisor, Kurt Robbins, couldn't be here today, but he's put together a one-page letter and has asked that I read this to the RAC. So this letter is in reference to comments provided by the Forest Service to the 2015 Bucks, Bulls, Once-in-a-Lifetime, and Antlerless Permit recommendations. Forest Service appreciates the opportunity to comment on the upcoming Southern Rock discussion and values our relationship with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Forest Service is committed to assisting the division in managing for sustainable populations of big game by providing quality habitat that is well distributed across the national forest landscapes. We recognize the necessity for the division to manage for population numbers that are in balance with habitat conditions and support this effort. We would like to make the following suggestions for consideration in this meeting. And the first one is the Fish Lake National Forest, the Richfield District, is in the process of preparing an environmental impact statement to manage a 50,000 plus acre landscape scale treatment to increase the distribution, quality, and quantity of aspen habitat on Monroe Mountain. We recommend the division consider short-term aggressive antlerless management to help decrease potential impacts to aspen regeneration on Monroe Mountain. This will help ensure the success of this large landscape scale level aspen management project, which will help reestablish aspen in the conifer dominated landscapes. Regenerating aspen across the landscape will help provide the necessary diversity of cover and forage that will sustain increased numbers of wildlife through time. The second recommendation that the forest has is, as you are aware, Southern Utah is experiencing drought conditions. These drought conditions are likely to have impacts on many species of wildlife and domestic livestock. We recommend the drought conditions on Monroe Mountain and the potential impacts to livestock operators be considered prior to making any final antlerless in our hunting season recommendations to the Wildlife Board. This will help balance total ungulate use with these drought-related conditions. So in closing, we appreciate the opportunity to provide comments on the 2015 antlerless permit recommendations and look forward to working with the state in the future. The Forest Service looks forward to further efforts to manage the diverse landscapes that occur on the national forest lands and the joint monitoring opportunities in the future. If you have questions, you can contact Ron Rodriguez, Kurt Robbins, or any of the district rangers on the forest. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Jesse followed by
Gibb Yardley.
I'd just like to say that I would disagree with the cow elk control permits on Mount Dutton. Historically, Mount Dutton unit has been a natural winter range for a lot of neighboring units, the Boulder, the Monroe, Beaver. Most of your Ponsagonta elk winter on Mount Dutton. They're counted during the winter months when they're there, so the counts are very high on Mount Dutton when they do their counts. Most of the elk aren't on Mount Dutton. They don't summer there. They don't live there. And by killing the Dutton, you're killing these other units. I just like to say that it has a ripple effect. If you kill that many cows on the Dutton and you do a control tag, it's going to have a ripple effect on these other units. In 2001, I believe you guys did the same thing, and it really killed the number of elk, and we didn't have very many elk, and then we stopped hunting cows for a while. It's going to do the same thing if you do it again. People will flock to it. People will kill the cows. They'll buy a spike tag, $30 more. They'll buy a cow tag, and they'll hunt them, and they'll kill them. I mean, your ranchers here, they'll probably get a lot of their family. They'll go up there. They'll kill as many cows as they can. So will everybody else. And we won't have very many left. All these projects and conservation programs that we do will be for nothing if we keep hunting elk the way we are right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Gibb, followed by Will Talbot.
Turned 82 years old.
Well, you take your time. You've earned it.
We're facing the worst drought here that we've ever faced. Right here in this valley, we've got less water coming out of that Beaver Mountain for these irrigation ditches than I have ever seen in my entire lifetime. We've got a lot of these ditches that come off the mountain that should be running 5 or 6 second feet of water. There's not a half a second foot there. This drought is a lot more serious than a lot of people think. And you people need to give that some consideration in the number of elk that you're taking off these ranges. Our home ranch is in Beaver where we live, but we summer at AC Creek and up on the Cedar Mountain towards Brinehead, and then we winter 45 miles west here out on the West Desert. We've got 1,000 acres on the West Desert that we reseeded. It cost us thousands of dollars, reseeded it and fenced it and developed the water that we own. Those elk have come in on that land that we developed and just taken the whole thing. I couldn't even turn any cows up there last year. They're all over that country out there. And they're all over they're getting more of them every place. And every year, you take the same amount off, it seems like. Well, this year, you're confronted with this drought. You better increase the numbers you're taking off, or we won't have any ranges left. Of course, out on the West Desert, we can't blame it all on the elk, but this piece I'm telling you about was, but we've got those wild horses out there, and boy, they're just devastation of the range. The rest of you that live where you don't have them can count your blessings that way. So I think that you ought to increase, with this drought so bad and confronting us, I think that you ought to increase the cows you take every place and the bulls also, and get these numbers down. We're going to have to, if we don't get a storm, we'll have to pull a lot of these cattle off these ranges. It's not fair for us to have to come off and leave all the elk there. And these elk get up on these high mountain ranges. My son last year saw about 80 head right up on Midway, the latter part of April. And our cows don't get up in that country until way into the 1st of July. Now, and I'm just like Stanton. You men need to listen to Mac Morrell. He's worked hard on this board, and I've noticed you year after year, you disregard what he says, and you better listen to him, or our rangers are going to be destroyed. Now, while I'm here, I want to tell you something else. You sportsmen need to stick with us cowmen on resisting them putting wolves in this country. I think the Fish and Game is transplanting a lot of this wildlife. Now, they just killed a wolf up here on the Beaver Mountain. It was collared last year up at Cody, Wyoming. I wonder if it wasn't hauled here. And there's some others, they tell me, on this mountain. And I know that a few years ago, we didn't have any bear on this mountain. This Beaver Mountain is full of bear. The Fish and Game has brought those bear in here. And I don't like to see take all these antelope off the Parker, and they've got a heck of a problem up there. Imagine they had 5,200 head. Increase the hunters up there. Let them kill more of them. Don't take them off and cause a problem for some of the rest of us. I don't want to see them out on our West Deserts. We've already got them out there. And I think there's a herd of these antelope up around Panguitch Lake, south of Panguitch Lake and east. They've increased so much the last few years, we need to take more of those antelope off of that country. And But I want you to really resist and think about this wolf thing. Because there's some of these environmental idiots, and that's what they are, wanting to have more wolves. The pioneers knew what they were doing, getting rid of those wolves. And then they bring them back in on top of us. Yellowstone Park had the largest herd of elk in the world before they put those elk in there. They had over 20,000 head right in Yellowstone. Today they've got 6,000, and 75% of those calves are killed every year by those good for nothing wolves. And now they want to make about half of Arizona, New Mexico a range for the Mexican wolf. And they'll be right up here on us if they get them down there. So we've got to fight that as sportsmen and as stockmen. So don't forget that. And I just think that you need to take off more cows and more bulls on these elk and hold the numbers down, especially this drought year. So on the West Desert and on the Panglish Lake Unit, I recommend twice as many numbers as they've got on this paper here. Thank you very much and appreciate your help.
Thank you, Gib. Will? And that's the last comment card that I have.
Will Talbot, Paiute County Commissioner. Hey, a few concerns I have is, one, I thought he said we're 11,000 over objective. Was that a true statement on the elk?
Statewide.
You know, I want to echo what these guys said. We're entering a drought situation, a horrible situation from what it looks like. Another thing is the aspen regeneration that I'm involved in on the Monroe Mountain. There's a pasture that involves one of my allotments. There has not been cattle in that allotment in 4 years. That allotment, that pasture in that allotment looks worse than any pasture on the whole mountain that's been grazed by totally elk. With the aspen regeneration, with the numbers that is on Monroe Mountain right now, will not work. The livestockmen will be the ones that are going to take the hit. So there has to be a reduction. We've increased the elk on Monroe. You've taken the spike hunt. You haven't increased no cow tags for this coming year. You know, we're being overrun. And everybody wants to mention Grass Valley and say, oh, we've done a lot of work. You know what? Grass Valley is finished by October because them elk are down. What restoration has been done? It's gone. Them elk are to the Dutton. So, you know, my concern is them elk numbers have to come down, especially to see a $1 million project go into Monroe Mountain and it fail because the elk are already there. The aspen damage is being done as we speak right now. It's not when the cattle come up. You want to look at Mary O'Brien's website. 67% of the aspen's been grazed before cattle reach the mountain on the 1st of June. So, you know, I think you have a real problem on the Monroe Mountain. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any more comment cards on this item? One more? Two more. Okay, we have Jason Aiken, Braden Richmond.
I'm Jason Aiken, representing Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife. SFW supports the division's recommendations on the antlerless permits. Thank you.
Braden Richmond, represent myself on this one. Need to represent myself in case I say something stupid. But I'm going to ramble for a minute. It doesn't appear as we have timers tonight, so.
Oh, yeah, you do. 3 minutes.
Hey, come on, man. There's no way it's 3 minutes on a couple of those guys.
And the timer's running.
All right, we'll get to it. Actually, It's interesting sitting here, and we do this every year at this meeting, and it sounds like we're divided between sportsmen and ranchers. And I think that's a poor path to continue down. I think we got a lot more similarities than we have differences. Sportsmen have spent, as I said a minute ago, millions of dollars, and we want to hunt more animals, but we aren't as far divided from the ranchers as sometimes it comes across. I think we all are intelligent enough to understand that we need to kill elk at times. We need to have cow hunts. I don't think you'll find anyone in this room that argues that, and there's a time and place for it. I also think that there's a lot of range that can handle more elk, and we need to work together on those things. Let's kill them in this area instead of these huge management plans. Let's kill them where there are problems and expand them where we can. And I'll leave that alone on the elk. On the deer, I think everyone's passionate about the deer. I'm sorry, I missed the name, but the one cattleman there, he said his passion's hunting deer. I think everybody wants more deer. Having said that, it's hard to watch these doe hunts. Once again, we recognize there's a place for it, but it sure is hard to watch. I believe it was this meeting, probably about 5 years ago, where I stood up and proposed the idea, due to some great research from other people brought to me, but I stood up and proposed the idea of transplanting deer. I was told I was crazy. I was told I was an idiot from the microphone right there. And that's a fact. That was said into the microphone. I was talked to an hour afterwards how I had no idea what I was talking about because it would never work. It did work. We've had great success with it. Maybe it's time to think of another out-of-the-box solution to help these deer. We're going to kill 250 more deer on the Parowan Front this year. I recognize the habitat's gone. We need to kill 500 deer on that. 250 is not aggressive enough. But nobody wants to see deer die. We also can't continue to spend money to transplant them by helicopter. So let's come up with some more ideas. You know, we're all smart people. We all want the same thing. And we're seeing some of these urban transplantings work up north with nets. Still expensive. The deer are still surviving much better than we thought they would. Maybe that's an option to do. But I think, you know, we have a lot of experience, sportsmen and ranchers together. A couple great comments by the ranchers that killed predators. I think we can all agree on that except for the houndsmen. The wolves, I think 100% of us can agree on the wolves. And I think if we work together to solve some of these other solutions, we can come up with some pretty good ideas as long as we don't limit ourselves. Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of the comment cards. I just have one question. I realize the condition on the Monroe with the aspen regeneration is a serious concern, and we've had a presentation in the past within this last year. It seemed like we voted on something. What have we done to address that? I mean, do we need to do more, or have we done what we've agreed to do, or what do we need to do to help them with the aspen?
Yeah, I can address that. As part of the EIS that Jason alluded to, we've committed to helping with the aspen regeneration. What we haven't committed to is preemptive removal of elk. We've committed to doing it post-treatment. After the fires have taken place, that's the main treatment method that's going to take place there. And the reason that we've resisted preemptive elk removals is a lot of times these fires are planned and they don't happen for years. And you know, I think Jason would you know, back me up on that. Once those treatments take place, we've committed to making sure that elk aren't the reason that those projects don't accomplish the objectives that they're laid out to be, and we'll stand up to that commitment. But we're not going to do it preemptively, just because there's too much uncertainty in when and how the projects take place. Vance, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just
I'd like to add, we kind of changed a little bit how we managed the Monroe Boulder Fish Lake Dutton complex. And so knowing that a lot of elk leave, say, Monroe Mountain and go to Mount Dutton to winter, we did start to offer significantly more cow tags in order to control the population as a whole. So we've actually harvested a lot of cow elk in the last 2 years, much more than we normally have. As a side benefit of that, that's just for population control as a whole, but that will help the aspen situation. And then, of course, we'll address the aspen situation as they arise with the treatments. And I think we'll try to be as flexible and active as we can with that.
Okay, before we do the comments, then, I'd just like to summarize some of the comments that we've heard from the public. We've heard concerns about the antlerless control permits on the Dutton and other areas which don't seem to have a control. We heard from the Paiute County Grazers Association and that the elk numbers need to be controlled and support antlerless control permits. We also heard that we need to control the predators and be more aggressive so the deer will move back into the mountains. Utah Wildlife Cooperative supports the recommendations as presented. Wayne County Grazers supports increased antlerless elk permits. Friends of the Ponsagon supports antlerless elk permits on the Ponsagon. Utah Farm Bureau would like us to increase the number of antlerless elk permits. We've heard from individuals that would like us to add antlerless deer permits to the Zion unit. We went through the letter of the Fish Lake, and we just barely discussed that. We've heard disagreements with allowing antlerless controlled permits on the Dutton. We've heard a number of concerns about the drought conditions in Utah this coming year. We've heard comments about stop transplanting antelope off the Parker and to kill those instead. Decrease antelope around Panguitch Lake. Concerned about the impacts of the drought and elk together. We need to reduce elk on the Monroe in conjunction with the aspen regeneration projects. SFW supports the DWR's recommendations on antlerless permits. We need to build an alliance between sportsmen and ranchers, and I just say amen to that. We need to be all together. Everyone wants more deer. It's hard to see doe hunts, and we need to consider more deer transplants and new methods. And helicopters are too expensive. So that's kind of a summary of our comment cards, and we'll turn comments over to the RAC at this time. And we better hear from Mac because we all look to him.
I'm nervous, huh?
Well, let us down, Mac.
For years I've preached Monroe, Dutton, Fish Lake, and Boulder are all one unit. You can't tell the elk where to go. The only way you can tell them is put pressure on them, they'll move. And if you're not seeing elk on the Dutton, then they're either on the Monroe, Fish Lake, or Boulder. And that's why last year they instituted a hunt. You could do either, all of those, you could hunt all those mountains for cow elk. And it was, Jim's, what was it, 80% success? Yeah, and on each individual mountain, it's like 30%. So you go where the elk is. I would like to see the control permits on the antelope. If you have a buck antelope, you can also kill a doe. And I would like to see the permits on the desert for the antelope. I know it's tough to get, so I know they tried hunting them a year ago and they didn't do very good. They're pretty elusive and hard to find. But one thing I do know, County Commissioner, Wayne County Commissioner D. Ray Fillmore told me a year ago that 87% of the gross revenue in Wayne County comes from agriculture. Now, I don't know what it is in Paiute, Garfield, or Kane, or whatever, or Sevier. I can tell you what it does in Wayne County. And the second most after agriculture was tourism. Wildlife was not even mentioned as bringing money into the county. And yet we are inundated by wildlife on private land and on our range. So I think we need to do something about that. 2 years ago, this RAC voted to increase elk on the fish lake. I was against that. Commissioner Stan Wood and Vernon King and myself went to the Big Game Board. Unsuccessful. So where are we today? Too many elk. So I think we need to take a look at particularly Fish Lake, Monroe, and Boulder, and we need to just increase the permits. I mean, it's hurting the ranchers, okay? I mentioned earlier, my spring range. 2 years ago, there was 900 elk out there in January. When I went out the 1st of May, there was nothing for my cows to eat. Elk, deer used to be in flat tops and big holler country. Now the elk's moved in there to winter. And the deer is in town or in the fields. And according to my biologist, the resident deer, the only way to get rid of them is either transplant or kill them. And who wants to kill an old doe? But what do? She's taking some revenue from you. Especially when there are 40 or 50 of them. And they're there constantly, year-round. So we need to address the RAC, we need to address the drought situation. The problem on the winter range. On our numbers. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
Hold on just a sec.
Let me make one comment on the drought conditions. Our plan is to do the same as we did last year. We committed that we will be monitoring drought conditions across the region as we did last year. And if conditions require it, we'll come back in July and August and maybe even September and increase the number of antlerless tags if we're seeing that there's damage happening on the range. We did that last year. We were saved by the monsoon moisture that came in August. That may happen again this year. It may not, but we will monitor that. And if conditions warrant it, we'll come back with additional recommendations later in the year. And we'll just take that as it comes.
Yeah, but Kevin, sometimes that's too late. If we go out there in May and June, and the Forest Service, you got to move the range because we do our own range monitoring. We got to leave 50% of the habitat. If we move from one patch to the other, and we have to come home in September instead of the 15th of October, by the time your recommendations come in, it's too late. We're gone.
I understand that, Mac. Our ability to adjust population numbers on the fly is limited because of the tools that we have. I mean, we don't have them all in fences and where we know where they all are and can go gather them up and take them places. So we have different tools, but we'll use the tools that we have to adjust to do what we can. And you know, the tool we have is hunting.
Mike, do you have a comment?
Kevin answered that.
Okay, thank you.
It's just, Mac, it's just hard to kill them in July. I mean, I know that's what you're asking us to do, but it's hard to go whack a cow in July.
I'm not telling you to kill them in July.
That's the law.
We should have had this done a year ago. Okay? That's why we need... I've always said you got to kill more cow elk all the time. And even with these additional permits that you, if you have a hunting, you can either hunt deer or you have a spike permit, you can spend some money, $30, and get a cow elk permit. Even at that, the population of these from Dutton, Fish Lake, and Boulder and Monroe hasn't changed very much, if any.
Any comments down this end of the table? Anybody else down here? Okay, I'm ready to entertain a motion.
You can do it. Last time I did, nobody knew
me. Okay, Mike.
I would make a motion and we recommend the division's analyst permit recommendations with the exception of increasing the Southwest Desert from 425 to 600, and increase the complex of Monroe, Dutton, Fish Lake, and Boulder an additional 250 permits. And also on the pronghorn, if you have a buck permit, you can also kill a doe.
Which unit?
On the plateau. And in Parker Plateau, and also included that on the desert. They're not a hunt on the desert, but I'd like to see one. Okay.
I'm dumb. Where's the desert? I thought the whole state was a drought. Please explain where the desert is.
It is on the eastern part of Wayne County and Garfield County, from Lake Pyle through Henry Mountains up into Hanksville, up into Notham.
All right, I see.
Okay.
It. Okay.
Okay. Is that your motion?
That's correct.
Do we have a second on the motion? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion on the motion?
I have a question.
Okay.
Apologize for my ignorance. When you said the Monroe, Mount Dutton, Fish Lake, Boulder, you're talking about increasing the tag of 250. Is that on the hunt that you can go anywhere? Is that what you're talking about? Are you saying divide 250 up between those four units?
On the hunt that you can go any place.
And that
doesn't show on here.
And that was the hunt that had 80%
success rate,
and that's not shown.
It's added into the Boulder recommendation. Is that correct?
Yeah. Where's that at?
It's kind of, I think, in the Boulder.
We're finding it.
Justin, would you clarify that?
I just don't know what I'm voting on.
Would you quit turning that thing off when you hand it over?
In the Antlerless hunt table, there's a hunt called Monroe, Mount Dutton, Plateau, which encompasses those three units, and there's currently 150 permits, and the season dates are November 16th through January 31st. That's the hunt you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. So it's accounted for separately.
How many tags are currently there?
150. Okay, let me Let me see if I've got the motion right here. So the motion is to accept the antlerless permit recommendations, except increase the Southwest Desert antlerless elk permits to 600 and add 200 tags to the multiple unit cow elk hunt, the one we just talked about, and add antlerless control permits for doe, antelope on the Parker. Is that?
You okay with that second?
Yeah. Okay, let me just clarify something, if I could, on just so that everybody knows where the antlerless elk permit on the Southwest Desert came from. It's at 475 right now, Jason, is that right?
425.
And that's the number, if you remember last year at the Wildlife Board meeting, I think we had recommended 350 last year. The Wildlife Board increased it by 75 up to 425. And so we just carried that already increased number of 425 forward this year. And so there is an argument to be made that the 420 is already an increase at the level that it's at. Is that a fair summation of that, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, the recommendation is to increase that further up to 600. Did I miss anything else, Mac?
No, you would just add that the Southwest Desert population objective is 975, population estimate is 1,300 now. So that's why we want to take that extra off.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion on the motion?
Oh, yeah, you know we have discussion. On this additional 200 tags on this beaver / Dutton, what do you think that's going to do? Do you think that's, I mean, what effect's that going to have on this herd?
Okay. So, you know, last year was the first year we tried that. Very successful hunt. Hunters loved it. You know, 89% success rate. What we found is the majority of that harvest took place on the Monroe unit. It's very accessible. It's near the population centers. If we boost it, 200 extra tags, we're gonna kill the elk on Monroe. So I would suggest, Mac, that I would rather see those extra tags, if we're going to do that, divided among the units, and probably get a better harvest where we need it, would be my suggestion. But
I think the reason that they were killed mostly on Monroe was the fact that that's where they migrated to for the winter for the lack of snow.
What time was the hunt taking place?
It comes from November 15th to January 31st, right?
Yeah, it's all winter long, and he's probably right. Yeah, we had less migration from the Monroe possibly to the Dutton, and that could happen. But we do have some elk herds that are real vulnerable on Monroe, just right in everybody's backyard, that really get hunted really hard. So
also, there's an aspen regeneration problem on Monroe you want to take consideration too. So.
Any further discussion? Okay, we're ready. Oh, Sean?
Yeah, I just had a real quick question. Jason, what's the harvest success on that Southwest Desert cow hunt?
Oh, sorry about that. Last year on the Southwest Desert, the harvest on that antlerless hunt was 71%. I would add that last year with the bull hunts, the limited entry, the spike, the antlerless hunts, the antlerless that were harvested on the spike archery hunt, we harvested over 600 elk off the Southwest Desert last year. And we're on track to do that with the recommendation that's been made by the Division of Wildlife.
Okay, we're ready for a vote. All those in favor? You got a count?
Six.
Six. All those opposed?
Two.
Motion carries. Do we need to take a break? Okay. These next two will be short. We'll continue on. We are on item number 8, the 2015 CWMU antlerless permit recommendation.
Just to the left. Just left of where you're at. So okay. That one right there, I think, is the one it is.
It looks like mine.
Yeah, I was looking at it before. I think that's the one that came up, CWMU.
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try and make this as brief as I can. I'm Scott McFarland, the Private Lands Public Wildlife Coordinator for the Division, and this evening I will be presenting the 2015 CWMU antlerless voucher and permit recommendations.
Scott?
Yes.
Sorry. Let me just add a point of clarification that just occurred to me. Mac, just so that there's not a surprise, the antlerless adding control permits for doe on the Parker, that's part of the motion. It probably won't be able to happen this year, and the reason is we don't have that as a permit that's been through the legislature and have a fee for it. So, but by doing that, that may get us started down that path. But I don't want you to be disappointed because it's something that legally we can't do right now.
Okay, I understand. Okay. Jim assures me they're going to trap a bunch this year, though.
Okay.
We good to go? Okay. Okay, just as kind of an overall review of this, currently we have 127 CWMUs in the state, and 70 of those CWMUs have antlerless permits. 15 of those have already been previously approved. If you remember last fall during our Bucks and Bull process, we approved the majority of the CWMUs for Bucks and Bulls and their management plans. The CWMUs are on a 3-year management plan that are approved for it, and the majority in the state were up for renewal last year. Two of those CWMUs are requesting changes to previously approved numbers, and 55 of the CWMUs require Wildlife Board approval for the new 3-year CORs. As I said, the Bucks and Bulls were approved last fall, and the antlerless numbers need to go through the process right now. So in summary, 70 CWMUs are requesting 319 private tags and 1,250 public tags that would be allocated through the public draw process for a total of 1,569 antlerless tags on all species. And the way that some of these tags go to the CWMUs, some of them go to the to the public, and the way that ratio is determined is through a buck and bull process. What they determine, or what the CWMU chooses as a ratio in for their buck and bulls, determines what percentage of the antlerless permits that they get and the public get. For example, if they choose a 90-10 buck and bull option for deer and elk, the public gets 100% of the tags that are allocated for those units. If they do an 85-15 buck and bull, it goes to 25-75 and 80-20 to 40-60 and so on. So pronghorn and moose are always a 60-40 buck and bull split. The CWMUs don't have the option to choose anything else, and the antlerless are always a 40-60 private public split on that. So I'll go through the recommendations by region very quickly. There's a lot of them. I'm not going to read them all. I'll do some of the highlighted ones. Junction Valley was a previously approved CWMU. Their permit numbers, they requested a change from 10 2-doe permits to go to 7, a reduction to go to 7 2-doe permits. So. And when it says the DWR recommendation on the right, what it says approve is, it should be probably agree. That is that the division and the CWMU have both agreed that these are the antlerless permit numbers for the individual CWMUs. Okay. These are the northern region continued. The majority of the antlerless permits in CWMUs are pretty much elk antlerless permits with a few doe pronghorn permits. Southeastern region, we have JB Ranch was previously approved, and they're requesting an increase of 5 antlerless elk permits. And this is the corresponding public-private split on that. And we are in agreement with that one also. The Southeast region continued. These are all renewals. They're on the new 3-year management plans. Southern region, here, these are the recommendations. And the division is in agreement with the recommended permit numbers on here with the CWMUs also. The central region, these are all renewals except for one new CWMU, the Crab Creek, and these are all antlerless elk. The northeastern region, and just as an overview, we only have 2 CWMUs in the state that are requesting deer antlerless deer permits. One has 7 2-doe permits, so a total of 14 permits, and one is requesting, this is out of the, I think it's Mount Carmel, is requesting 5 single doe permits. Elk, the private permits would be requested are 255. Private and public permits 1125, and this is it for pronghorn would be 64 private permits and 106 public permits, so a total of 319 antlerless permits would go to the CWMU and 1250 would go to the public through the draw. With that, thank you.
Do we have any questions from the rack?
Scott, what's the reasoning for the 5 doe tags in Mount Carmel?
Who has that CWMU?
Jason.
Jason.
Mount Carmel, CWMU.
Josh actually deals with Mount Carmel CWMU.
I'll let the region address that. Thank you.
We can figure out who.
We got to pass it.
Josh, the question was the 5 Mount Carmel doe tags on the CWMU. Was there a specific reason for that?
I hope I'm right on this CWMU. Let me check real quick here.
That's a surprise for you.
Yeah, that's a surprise for me if he did, because I didn't.
Yeah, it was in the management. It was Mount Carmel.
Was that a change?
That was in the new
last year.
Last year?
We did. I'm trying to think what it was.
I don't think we know.
Yeah, I don't know.
What it was a request last year in their application. They applied on a new 3-year application. They requested 5 antlerless permits on Mount Carmel. So,
Rusty, we'll get it. We'll get an answer and get back to you.
Okay. Yeah. So, let me see here.
Yeah. Any further questions? Do we have any questions from the audience? We don't have any comment cards. Do we have any comments from the rack? I'm ready to entertain a motion. Lane? Sean. Good boy, Sean.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the Division's 2015 CWMU antlerless permit recommendations as written.
Okay, we have a second. Lane? Okay. Any comments? All those in favor? Unanimous? Okay, we'll move on to our last item, which is number 9. And some mountain goat unit management plans. And it looks like Dustin Scheibel will be presenting.
My name is Dustin Scheibel. I'll be presenting the Mountain Goat Unit Management Plan updates. The 2013-2018 statewide management plan is requiring us to develop and or revise all unit management plans.
Hey, Dustin, so, would you raise that mic up a little bit?
Okay, I think we're good now. All right, so I'll be presenting the management or the recommended management direction for all goat units. And then I'll start off by going over the statewide habitat modeling and then go over the unit plan format and then finish up by going over an overview of the changes from previous plans. Excuse me. The methodology that we use for our habitat model was developed by Gross et al. In 2002. And what they found is that if you applied a 258-meter buffer to slopes that were 30 degrees or steeper, that would correctly classify 87% of goat habitat. So what we did... excuse me. We ran the model at 8,000 and 10,000 feet to figure out what our acreages were. And we found that most of our populations modeled best at either 8 or 9,000 feet. And we used the acreages then to influence our population objectives with the goal of trying to keep at least 6 goats per square mile. Here's a map of goat habitat at 10,000 feet and above across the state, at 9,000 feet above, 8,000. And there's all of the habitat in the state. And these are the units that we have across the unit that are across the state that are hunted. This statewide plan also allowed us to create units on Mount Dutton and the LaSalle's. And those unit plans were passed in August of 2013, so we won't be talking about those. We'll just be talking about the remainder of the units tonight. So the unit plan format goes over a boundary description, goes over land ownership in goat habitat, and goes over the history and current status for each unit, and then also goes over the issues and concerns specific for every unit. And then there's three main parts that guide our management recommendations in terms of population, habitat, and recreation. So we have two areas that we're recommending population objective increases. The first is being on the Cache-Ogden East Canyon area. This area is just an expansion of the Willard Peak area. We've had goats leaving this unit and establishing adjacent ranges. And so this management plan will allow us to manage those goats that have left the Willard Peak area. And with that, we'd like to recommend going from 160 on just Willard Peak to 700 across the entire area. We'll be using 5 subunits to make sure that our localized densities don't go over 6 goats per square mile. The other area we are recommending an increase in population objectives is on the Tusher Mountains, going from 150 to 175. This area is a highly productive unit. Been chronically over objective. We worked with the Forest Service to gain their support for that increase. And since it is always over objective, we included additional language in there to coordinate with the forest on our transplants and nanny hunts. So summary of the population objective increases. The Cache-Ogden East Canyon area going from just 160 on Willard Peak to 700 is an increase of 540, increase of 25 on the Tushers is a statewide increase of 565. Our old unit management plans were, we were managing for just over 3,100, and under this proposal we'll be managing for 3,700. And the current goat population estimate for the state is around 2,000. So here's a map of the Cache Ogden East Canyon area. Again, we just have a management plan in place for the Willard Peak unit. Again, we've had goats leave this unit and establish on the adjacent ranges. And so these are the subunits that we would use to manage across the area. Particularly just to the northwest, we'd be on the Wellsville. We'd manage for 75 on that subunit, 190 on the middle cache, 200 on the remaining Ogden on the remaining portion of the Ogden unit, and 160 again on the Willard, and then 75 down in East Canyon. So again, 700 for this entire area. Here's a map of the habitat on the Tushers. Again, it's a little bit more contiguous habitat. Again, it's a very productive goat herd. We've been using this herd as a source herd for several transplants in the recent past. And it's actually, even with the increase, it's actually the lowest density in the state. This table shows the densities across the state. In the left-hand column is the unit, and the far right-hand column is the density of goats per square mile. Again, trying to maintain six goats or less per square mile. Tushers is lowest at 1.13, even at 175. And then the highest is on the Wasatch and the Box Elder and Provo Peak areas, where we approach about four goats per square mile. Habitat objectives. All plans include language that support habitat improvement projects and regulated livestock grazing. We also support coordination between us and the Forest Service on vegetation monitoring. We've actually been using radio telemetry, some satellite radio telemetry, to gain a better perspective of habitat goat habitat preferences. Currently, we have these collars out on the LaSalle's, Dutton, Nebo, and we've got them proposed to be put out on the Wasatch. And what our goal here is to gain information that would guide, I guess, habitat monitoring with the forest. The recreational part of each plan would just be consistent with the statewide management plan, where we'd be recommending any goat permits to harvest 5 to 15% of the counted population, and using nanny hunts and transplants to regulate the overall population size, subunits, and multiple seasons to maximize hunter opportunities and maintain high hunter harvest at about 90%. And then finally, the non-consumptive portion, we look to install interpretive signs in established goat areas and expand our watchable wildlife viewing events. We've had sometimes 300 to 500 people attend these events, so goat viewing is very popular in the state. So again, we'd be looking to expand that those efforts. So in summary, three main sections of each plan: the population, habitat, and recreation. Changes that we've recommended are for two population objectives in Cache Ogden, East Canyon, and the Tushers. And then all plans would be supportive of habitat monitoring and improvement projects. And then all plans would be consistent with the statewide plan in terms of recreational uses.
Okay, thank you, Dustin. Do I have any questions from the RAC? Rusty?
Dustin, do you know the estimated populations on these units?
Do I know what?
The current estimated population on the units?
I do.
Did I miss? Okay. What's the one? What's the LaSalle's?
LaSalle's, we brought in 20 the first year, 2 years ago, and we lost four. One fell off a ledge. One mortality was related to the capture, and two were unknown. And then this last year, we brought an additional 15, and we lost one of those to the capture. And so in between, from the first 20 that we brought over, they documented two kids. And so I think we're right around 30 to 34, something like that, goats over there.
Fair ways to go. How about on the Tushers?
On the Tushers, remember off the top of your head? 130? Okay. Statewide, we're about 1,800 to 2,000.
Any further questions? No questions in the audience? We don't have any comment cards Any comments from the RAC? Ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we support Mountain Goat Unit Management Plan as presented.
Okay, a motion and second by Rusty. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor? Unanimous? The very last item on the other business, I just wanted to comment that we had the opportunity to meet with the Aquatics Division a few weeks ago. The RACs were invited. The Wildlife Board was invited. It was very worthwhile. I want to thank you for that. If you didn't go, you should take that opportunity the next time it comes up. And then also on the agenda that we have today where it says the next meeting, it doesn't mention that we will be discussing the individual deer management units, so we want to make sure that everybody try to be there for that. That's going to be an important
Can I give
meeting.
You an update on location?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you have a location for that now, Lynn?
I was actually just able to confirm that tonight. We tried to get St. George. All of the high schools in Washington County are having their awards night that night, so all of the auditoriums are tied up, and they didn't want us there. Hurricane High School is happy to have us there. If it's okay, we'll go to Hurricane and use one of their little auditoriums, which should be fine for us. So if that's okay with you, I'll... Hurricane's better town anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. You send us an address. Okay, that's all the business I have. We'll call this meeting adjourned. Thank you.